Hey, 4Play listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. 4Play, it's our Barstool Sports. Not your best clap there, Trent, but we'll work on it. Do you feel like you slapped your arm there?
No, no touch of the fingers. Yeah, no palms.
The fingers connected. Was,
yeah, I understand that.
Unfortunate.
It's the second show of U.S. Open week. As you're listening to this, the U.S. Open is pretty much about to begin, unless you're one of those people that listens really late, like my mother, for example. So hello to my mother and my sister, I think, a lot. But they're out in Colorado, which is so around like 10 p.m. their time.
Mm-hmm.
And they stay up a little later, so they actually listen to it like before Thursday.
Hello to the women in your family.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I don't think a single person in my family listens to this show.
Is that right?
My mom does. So
I guess they might. I'll hear about it.
Hello to your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Big show. So we've got Austin Daly on. Austin Daly was the victim in the Corn Ferry Tour. It's been a long couple days. Corn Ferry Tour qualifier, Monday qualifier, this past Monday, who got in a literal fist fight on the tee, on the eighth tee, I believe it was, or eighth hole at in Kansas, in Newton, Kansas, I believe is where it was, this past Monday. This story went crazy. Cops were called. Arrests were made. Austin Daly tells the story from his vantage point, and it's must-listen. I would call it must-listen.
Yeah, when that story started to trickle out, we only saw headlines, no videos or anything like that, so you just have to read about it. And I was really happy, or I was looking forward to talking to him just to get what actually went down from a guy who was there and very much involved in the fight. And it's just I don't know what types of words to use, because we talked to Austin for 25, 30 minutes. Seems like a very nice, great guy. So I don't want to talk about a story where he got sucker punched and then held down. But I don't want to call that a great story, but it is a great story.
It's a great story. It didn't happen to you, Trent. It didn't happen to me.
No, it didn't. But he was such a nice guy that it's not a great thing for him.
I don't wish I don't have ill wishes upon him at all. He's awesome. That guy's great. But it's a great story. I mean, it's an amazing story.
So like, what's the, like, you know, if you're reading a book, it's a page turner.
Yeah.
What's this one in the podcast world?
A word listener. You know, I don't know. It's just a good story, okay? Right. The guy's got
a great story.
So he was legitimately attacked in this round of golf. Words are exchanged. There's people not looking for balls. Other people make chirps of you should hit the ball straight. And then it turns into arrest, police, and it's amazing. So that's coming up after we go through all the U.S. Open stuff. It's Thursday, so it's Transfusion Thursday, Owens Mixers. More and more stores, I'm telling you. Amazon, you can get it delivered right to you, which is great. CVS, Kroger, all these places. Now you can go get Owens. We're working hard to get it in more golf courses. But the point is, Owens has a delicious recipe for several different mixers. Transfusion's one that we, of course, had been talking about on this show for years, probably since our inception, if you will.
Yeah, I would say it's the first couple episodes, I'm sure we brought it up, and then it's just exploded since then.
And we were able to work with them, taste testing, all kinds of stuff to perfect that recipe, put it in a cool, cute little can, and then put it in stores all across the country so that all you do is pour it in with your favorite vodka of choice, and you have a delicious, delicious cocktail. You can do that with the Paloma, which is Lurch's big thing.
I've been with you these last couple of days, Lurch, and people yell at you, Palomas.
People love it.
Not even like, hey, man, I love Palomas. They just look at you, see you. They're like, I think that's Lurch, and they just say, Palomas.
Yeah. It's like when people just yell pizza at Dave.
Yeah. People yell.
I mean, that's
people,
kind of bonding thing. I mean, maybe they just yell golf. Maybe they yell 100 at you.
Like, people yell luggage at me a lot.
Oh, luggage is a good one.
Luggage guy.
Yeah, I can see that.
Doesn't feel good though if someone yells luggage at you.
I gotta tell you, it feels great.
Does it?
Yeah, because I know what it is.
They're in on it.
They're not calling me luggage.
Right.
They're saying you did a thing with luggage.
They pointed at you in a derogatory way and said luggage.
Isn't that a derogatory term in hockey? Maybe where like your hockey locker
suitcase,
room, but like. Your luggage means you're kind of holding the whole group up.
That's what I thought.
I think that's right. Luggage takes longer.
The guy's
right?
absolute luggage.
Like when you travel and you have more luggage, you're just a less efficient traveler.
Right.
Yeah.
And I, you know, maybe some people have just called me luggage, not referencing
right. It's somebody
the
that you're bringing along.
Yeah.
Like you're not adding any value to keep us going forward. You got to carry the luggage with you.
We used to call behind his back our head coach, Ted Donato, who's still the head coach, the Hard Hockey Now. We used to call him.
Are you prepared for him to find this out?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's a big Barstool fan. I think he loves the content. He's a big golfer. We used to call him a suitcase because, like, his last few years in the NHL, he played for, like, seven different teams or something. So we just call him a suitcase.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good term.
I would say that's almost a compliment.
I think you want to be on one team consistently.
Right, but it's better than not being on a team.
Yeah, but when you go from, you know, these storied careers, he's like Bruins for a while, Rangers for a while, then all of a sudden you're a suitcase, and then you're out of the league, and you're coaching fucking rigs playing hockey. Yeah, I don't know that it was meant
quite
that
a drop off.
Yeah, a little bit. But he's a great guy, and their teams have done extremely well since. He's got sons in the NHL, so he's done a great job. And he was just coached for the World Junior team that took down the gold medal.
Was he really?
Yeah, he's. I think he was assistant coach.
I saw Brian Boyle playing on that team. I was like,
wow.
Who are they picking?
Wow. Anyways, Owen's Mixer is delicious. People yell Paloma at Lurch. But they got the grapefruit and lime. They got the mint cucumber and lime is one of my favorites. And they make a lot of good mixer flavors. So big thanks to Owen's Mixers. Okay. I'm going to say the biggest thing that's occurred since we've been here. This is 3 days we've been on site. Day one, we chatted with Craig. We put that interview out from the association. We chatted with him, put that out, and just kind of, you know, got acquainted with the tournament championship, And then Tuesday and Wednesday, you know, we kind of found our spot and chatted with a few different people. Biggest moment thus far, and the biggest question on people's minds is the status of Kevin Kisner's driver after Trent took it. And, well, why, you want to tell people what happened, Trent?
Well, yeah, we were wandering around the course doing what we do with these major championships, just trying to, you know, as you explained today, which I thought was apt, just like getting people's way. That's we get in people's way, and we've done it enough now that we've made these relationships where we can talk to these guys. They're not completely freaked out by the whole thing. And obviously, Kevin Kisner is that to a whole different level. We're buddies with him. So we go out there, and we try to watch him during his practice round, and we tracked him down on Tuesday. We found him on the 15th hole. And I had actually, because on that hole, they went to the tee box, and JT and Dewey and their whole crew walked towards the fairway, and we were closer to the fairway, so... I talked to JT a little bit, talked about my 122 video, if we were still okay, if we're still in good terms, if he's still my swing coach.
There were concerns, right?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, I go down there, he teaches me all these things, I act, or I do absorb a lot of it, but then I have to put it into practice when I play an actual round of golf, and I shot 122, so I was a little nervous to see him. I thought he might just be like, you know, it's just not working out between the two of us. You seem like a nice guy, but you just really suck at
golf. You're crushing his reputation.
He's in for the long term.
Right. That is, I didn't want to tarnish his reputation. If at any point he starts to get feedback in real circles that it's like, we can't trust this John Tillery guy anymore because the guy that he is teaching just cannot break 100.
He starts losing bookings.
Right.
Ricky pulls out.
Like, Kisner starts looking at him like, even though they've been boys for a while, he's like kind of like, what's going on with this guy?
You lose your touch. Like, what do you got?
Right. So I was legitimately nervous to see JT because that's – I don't care about anybody else except him because I know the work that we've put into it. And it's like to not see the fruits of that labor the first time around, I was nervous. But he was very cool. He took the blame. That's why he's the best in the world. But anyway –
class act.
He really is. But anyway, so Kisner and them, they hit their tee shots on 15. They start walking down the fairway. And I see Kevin Kisner waving at me, being like, let's see one. And I know what that means. I know, obviously, he wants to see the new swing.
It's the first time we've seen Kis in months. And he's walking down a U.S. Open fairway going, Trent, let's see one, waving his hands.
And immediately, the heart starts going. Because I know what that means. He's like... He's part of the Till gang. He wants to see what his stablemate, what kind of progress he has made. So I
duck. You guys are brothers.
We are. Brothers in arms. So I duck under the rope. We run out there. I get, you know, I take Kiz's driver. I can't overestimate how hard my heart was pounding.
Ooh, couldn't imagine.
Just because of the whole thing, like.
Right. You're on a U.S. Open fairway.
Yeah.
You're showing off your swing for the first time. To Kisner, who's a stablemate guy,
and
you're trying to do right by JT. I mean, power to you. Like, a big thing that's putting the pressure on you.
That's the big part where John Tillery was there throughout the whole thing. John Tillery is going to watch Kis watch me. And this, so it's sort of like the pressure's on, you know, I get the club in my hand. I don't have a glove. Let's make that clear.
Huge issue.
It's very uncomfortable not having a glove.
Another thing I want to make clear is that I'm not looking down a fairway. You know what I mean? I'm looking at a canyon. I'm looking at the Pacific Ocean. Was not a tailor-made club. So a few of these things are working against me. My heart rate's at 180, 190 probably. I didn't check, but it's probably right around there. And so, you know, line it up. get the grip. Try to think about all the things that JT has taught me over these last couple weeks, last couple months. And, you know,
yeah. You know. Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah,
this is the sad part.
I make my best effort, and I just hit it right off the toe.
Yeah.
Skies it right, goes straight up into the air, all the way right. And I left a dummy mark on Kiz's driver.
Very few people can be put in a situation to hit one golf shot that is more nerve-wracking than that. And, you know, combine that with the fact that you're going through changes that, like, if you had just taken your normal swing there, you would have, there's no way you would have hit it that bad.
No.
But you're trying to commit to the new movements, and, like, so that makes it really uncomfortable. The fact that you're doing it makes it really uncomfortable. The fact you didn't have a glove and all the other stuff, like, of course you were going to hit a bad shot.
But I really didn't want to. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, as soon as I hit it, like, the video, people like the video, whatever. It's like, haha, Trent sucks at golf. Because I, right now, in that moment, I definitely did.
Sometimes you do. Yeah.
Yeah. We're trying to clean up those areas. But I really want to hit a good one and have people go, like, oh, yeah, JT's going nuts. Kisner's going nuts. You know, it just wasn't meant to be. I was nervous.
I did. And, I kind of felt bad because I kept hammering this point home yesterday. But I kept being like, because you're like, no, the video was good. It's not that big of a deal. I could be like, but dude, imagine if you piped one and did all the things that JT wanted you to do. Kiz would have been like, Trent. JT would have been like, I told you, dog. And it would have been a scene.
Yeah.
That's for later, though. That can still happen.
That's part of the process. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, the last video put out, the first tee, you roped that thing crushed down the
it.
Middle.
Crushed it, yeah.
And I would say that alone is wild improvement to JT. I mean, you've added 50 yards.
Yeah.
Right?
40 to 50 yards, yeah.
Which is awesome. Tremendous. Like, he's added that to your swing in terms of its upside. So, yeah. Added a ton. I think we were just with them hanging out. And the funniest part of it all is that you think, or you told him, you're like, no, I got this. I can putt.
The putting.
And putting was a mess.
Yeah, no, putting's still a mess. So that's something I got to work on. But, yeah, I wanted to hit a good drive in front of all those guys, and it just wasn't meant to be, but it's okay.
I got an idea. I think you should, we should.
Is this a tip coming? Are you giving him a tip?
No, I think we should collect in-depth stats of your rounds. So, like, exactly how many fairways you hit, exactly how many greens you hit, exactly how many putts you had, exactly what your scrambling percentage is.
Yep.
What your sand save percentage is.
This is a great idea.
Over this run, from now until you post something in the double digits, we just keep all your stats.
I like it.
This is a great idea.
Yeah.
This is something people can get behind, too.
Totally.
Because one round, like, golf, you never have it. Like, some days you drive the ball well, you don't hit irons well. And then some days you just don't putt well, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
So now people can truly get behind.
The trends.
I like this.
This is really good.
We can hone in on what specifically you need to work on. Because it might be like, dude, Trent, no, you're hitting it out there, you know, pretty consistently. And you're even though you're maybe missing a few fairways, but, like, you're barely missing it. And, like, yeah, you don't hit a ton of greens, but you're right there. But, you know, you had 47 putts or something. You'd be like, all right, you need to work on putting.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's a great idea. And we will definitely do that going forward.
Let's keep some stats.
47 okay. putts is going to be tough.
How many putts do you think you had
in the last round?
I try not to think about it.
Okay. That's probably for the best.
Yeah. We'll start now with the statistics.
No, we got to get those stats.
Okay.
From the 122, you got to have all the stats.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, we'll get those.
You ever look, dude, at we got the US Open coming up, like, the fact that they're just in the 20s a lot, these guys, for putts that they haven't around, that's
different.
Crazy. I got one of the best putting rounds of my life. I don't think I'm in the high 20s.
No.
And they'll be like 20, sometimes they'll be like 24 putts, 20, you're like, Wait, what?
It is crazy. I mean, because sometimes I feel like the amateur, when they think about putting and their strokes, they think like, oh, I putted one from the fairway or just off. Like, that counts as a putt. Truly, it doesn't. But I still never think that I'm sub 30 for putts in a round.
Dude, I don't think I ever am. And they are all the time.
Right.
And I usually putt pretty well.
You're great putter.
But, dude, like 25, 26, 27, 28, that's like no putts, and they do that all of the time.
You have 18 holes, so if you...
Right, immediately you're at 18.
Right.
Starting at 18.
If you're sub 36, you're less than two putts around per hole. It's crazy. There's not a world I live in.
They're way below two putts around.
Trent looks like he's panicking over there. That seems like an impossibility to get sub 36.
Yeah. We'll start small.
He's like, yeah, right. We'll start now in the future.
Where do you think, like, when we unpack these stats, you thought putting was your best asset? I still actually think putting's your best asset.
I don't.
What do you think?
I think your driving is your best asset.
I think it is now, yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah. Putting, I for whatever reason, because I also thought I was a good putter. Right. You go back on, there's some videos where I'm a pretty good putter.
Totally.
Over the years. But
Charman thinks you're a great putter.
He does, yeah. I for whatever reason, maybe I'm, you know, I was so focused on that being not what I needed to focus on that it started to drag a little.
I just think you're a very streaky putter.
Yeah.
And that you're bad is just really bad.
Really bad.
Which is being exposed now in that you're finishing everything, right? Which is a huge credit to you. But when you put everything in the hole, that when you're not, it just gets, it's just like you just add them up and it's like, oh yeah, you're putting it a lot.
Yeah, ball and hole is different.
Whereas a lot of times if somebody's like grinding and they don't typically break 100, you like had a lag putt from 15 feet and you hit it 4 feet by or something, everybody be like, scoop it, great, you know, let's move on. Ha, ha, high fives.
I'll bring that fucker.
And yeah. To that.
No doubt.
And to that point, Trent would have broken 100 if he played by other people's standards.
Totally.
One of the best moments or one of my favorite interactions with you ever was when we played Bethpage.
Yeah.
And we're like, hey, Trent, what'd you have? And he's like, oh, last three holes. You used to keep it on your cell phone. It was like 11, 13, and 10. No other human being on the planet keeps hitting it after 7. They just say, good. All right, boys, I'll just see you on the next tee box. No, not tee daddy. So, because you've played stretches, 13 holes of good golf.
Yeah.
And then you have 5 that are just off the rails.
Really bad.
Right, really bad. You get tired. You start seeing those kind of shoulders limp in.
Endurance underrated.
Yeah.
Right, we were talking about today. But you can start, when you see the beads of sweat pouring off T-Daddy, you know that he's not amply hydrated or he doesn't have the right nutrition in his body.
Hydrated.
Well, again, I'm allergic to the sun. I've made that clear.
We think that's real, right?
I honestly do think that's real. I think there's a part of me, because we all go to these golf tournaments and like I'm in bad shape, but like I'm not in like...
No.
No. You're in bad shape.
That was mean.
You're in bad shape. Wait, I would have taken that from Riggs. Right. I'm not taking that from you.
I'm in horrible shape. We're both in really bad shape.
This is a great example. This is a great example.
Genuinely rude thing.
You're a good test because I'd say we're in similar bad shape.
Right.
We go out to these golf tournaments and like we have very similar days because we're together all the time. I go back to my hotel room and I want to die. I have the worst headache every time of my life, every time it happens, and I just feel like I've been beat up. Yeah. And you feel normal.
He's tired.
Exhausted. I'm exhausted, but you have headaches?
Yeah.
I remember at the Barstool Classic down in Atlantic City. I mean, you got legitimately sick.
I couldn't do the podcast because the headache was so bad.
You bowed out. You tapped out of doing the podcast because the sun had affected you so greatly.
When I was... perfectly in a position to do it. I was just at my apartment. My laptop was charged. I had internet. Like, I could have done it, but my headache was so bad.
And you were
that
sitting there, and you were like, all right, I don't think I can do the podcast.
Yeah, I sat down because we were about to do it, and I was like, oh, I can't do this because I have such a bad headache. Do I think I'm actually allergic to the sun? I don't know. Maybe I just need to, like, but I've been out in the sun more. I thought I'd get more used to it. I don't know.
I mean, everybody is allergic to the sun at a certain point. But yeah, I do think it affects you worse than really anybody that I've ever met.
Yeah, maybe you just have like a really deep sensitivity to like radiation and it.
Do you drink enough water?
I try to, yeah.
Do you?
I try to pound water.
You drink a good amount of water, I think. Yeah. Yeah, because I was worried maybe you're not hydrated enough, but I think that's okay.
This is going to get, you know, graphic, but do you ever poop green?
No.
Because that's a sign of true dehydration. I did that this morning.
Oh, really? The only thing in
no, I mean,
I'm glad we cleared that up.
There are times
going through the list here
when my piss is just it's a different hue of yellow.
Okay, that's
just a deep,
just a
almost
dark
red.
No.
You're describing orange. Is that what you're describing?
No, just like people know. Like people know.
No, I mean. When it smells, that's usually a sign of...
You don't want that.
No.
No.
Or the green.
Yeah.
You don't want either of those.
No, and I, yeah.
Time to pick up a cup of water.
What a U.S. Open podcast this is.
Yeah.
No, but I think the way that your body has been handling the sun in the years of us now being out in it a lot.
Yeah.
And you probably need to change something. I don't know what. Maybe see a doctor. Maybe. Yeah.
You do the sunscreen too. No hat ever. Not usually.
Yeah, I've been doing no hat recently.
Maybe it's just because you're outside your clothes. I mean, you wear those clothes for everything else in this life. When we walk around a golf course, you got the Peter Millars on, and that's what you rock. Think it's a clothes
Hard
issue?
To know. Nah, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
If anybody knows, let Trent.
Yeah,
you know, give him a, yeah, please. Anybody got any food counts? So this little note in there about counting for each person, the I would say the indulgences that we've had on certain items, and two that we're really going to focus on are ice cream and the Uncrustables.
Both fantastic. Now, I just have a question before we go into this, yeah, because this topic has been brought up before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this a HIPAA violation?
Yeah.
Is me revealing to you the number that I'm going to share with the rest of the crew, is that considered a HIPAA violation? Because I'd like to file it under that category.
Oh, man.
My question was just going to be a little bit different. I was wondering if this was, did you place this in, or was this actually another email of somebody asking to know the food count?
No, this was something that I think yesterday when we were walking around, we were like, you know, we should track how much people eat. Because I asked Trent, very genuinely, I said, how many, and we were both together eating one of the fat boys at the same time.
Ice cream sandwiches.
Very good. And I said, how many of those do you think you're going to have this week? And I think you said like 5.
Which would about one a day.
Around one a day. And, yeah. I said, I think that sounds about right. And I think that Jake Bass was like, that's shocking. Like, you're going to have 5. And we were kind of talking about it. And I thought that that was about right. And so we were like, well, why don't we just track them? And then the Uncrustables entered the scene. And we were like, well, we should track those too. So,
all right. So I would say these are my real numbers so far through what's today?
This is Wednesday. We've been here 3 days.
I haven't been hitting the ice cream sandwiches as hard. I've had 2 of those.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've had 2 of those.
Okay, me too.
I've had 4 Uncrustables. Oof.
Those are good though.
And then, I've really filled it in with these red velvet cookies that they have.
Yeah, no, I see you.
I've probably had 7.
Yeah, I know. You're doing up sneaks too, which 7? Is a dangerous thing.
I know.
You're not even going public with some of the picks, which because, I know is a big guy to big guy.
Because I'm you're sick doing of people picks judging me when it happens, you know?
Well,
I
go, no, wait.
Because I don't
so
need,
you've
like,
been sneaking over there and just enjoying them occasionally?
Oh, look at that face. Yeah. So he'll finish the meal with everybody, and then he'll be throwing it away, and then he'll do a sneak pluck where he's not even going public without.
Have you lied?
I'll tell you how bad it's gotten. Here's an example. I went and I got an Uncrustable, and I was like, oh, I'm a piece of shit. I got this Uncrustable.
Right.
I slyly picked up a red velvet cookie, and I hid it behind the Uncrustable when I walked back to the table.
That's real. I mean, that's
that's awesome.
I appreciate you bringing that to the truth table here tonight. Yeah. You know, this has been fun.
That's honest.
Mm-hmm. Have you lied yet and been like, I'm going to grab a water real
Rick's
quick?
Is crying. Rick's is crying.
I mean, dude. Oh, man. Have you lied yet and been like, I'm going to get a water at Gatorade, and then you actually were getting something else?
I think that's a HIPAA violation. I think now we're crossing over into those waters. But, yeah, I have.
All right. That's mm-hmm. what I figured, because there's just not enough time in the day for you to be.
So the red velvet cookies are so good. And I don't even know what red velvet is. I no, don't
good
know.
Good point. Just kind of red dye in a cake. What is
red
that?
Red dye. I'm pretty sure it's chocolate. But it's like a better kind of chocolate.
Yeah. That's they got stuff. White chocolate cookies.
White, yeah.
The chips in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are nice.
Something else that's really nice, Truly. Truly Hard Seltzer. They've been back in the Barstool Classic for years now. They're back for 2021. They've got 16 refreshing styles and flavors. There's something for everybody. They got the new Fruit Punch out, which are awesome. I don't know if you guys have had those yet.
Yeah.
Oh. The new Fruit Punches are diabolical. So Truly is great. They're great for the golf course. They're refreshing. They're great for being out on a boat. Again, because they're refreshing, it's hot. We're talking about Trent can't even survive outside. So you need stuff that's refreshing.
Yep, and Truly does it. They were nice enough. They sent a couple. I don't know what how
cases.
A couple cases. I don't know if that was the right word for it, but they were just we have them around the house, put them in the refrigerator. Friday night, have a couple of them. They're fantastic. They really are.
Yeah, I do like that too over other options because, like you said, like you just rip them out of the fridge, have one or two, and it's not like. And like fill you up or make you feel groggy. No. It's like, ooh, they're kind of like light and refreshing.
It's seltzer with a little touch of booze in there. It's fantastic.
They're just great. And they got, like I said, 16 flavors. So you're going to find something that you like. Everybody's going to find something good. Their wild berry has always been one of my favorite. Blueberry acai is one of the ones that I've been on lately. Hard. So you might be at the beach. You might be at a bar. You might be on the course. Wherever. Make sure you're drinking some Truly Hard Seltzer because they're great. All right. Behind the Greens.
Nice.
I'm going to do throw that in there right now. Behind the Greens, Torrey Pines came out. It's phenomenal.
Yep.
Phenomenal. Frankie goes, hang gliding.
Yeah.
Jumped off a cliff.
Right.
Got way too close to that cliff.
Yeah. There were some moments there where, first of all, I was surprised he did it in the first place.
Well, he sent E-Bug out there first, didn't he? E-Bug was kind of the test dummy, and then Frankie went later, but E-Bug didn't get a spot in the scene.
Yeah, it was all Frankie.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised.
He got no shine. He got all risk, no shine.
No. No, but the shots that they got from out there were incredible.
Incredible. Also, Riggs made a point, which I didn't even really think about until after, but the drone shot of Frankie, so instead of just the selfie, like stick camera view.
Yeah.
And then zooming
GoPro
out.
GoPro, they call
yeah,
it?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. You could call it selfie stick camera view if you want. That's fine.
For my point, I think that's probably best.
No, that's fair. People know what you mean when you say that.
The drone shot, though, of Frankie in that, what is it, the hang gliding, what are those things called?
Is it paragliding?
Paragliding, maybe? Maybe paragliding.
I thought that was specifically behind a boat.
Oh, maybe.
That I don't know.
Regardless, right. They know what you're talking about.
Right.
The drone shot of Frankie, right, that fact that we had all that going on at the same time,
incredible.
And it was just him and E-Bug out there,
mm-hmm.
So those guys crush it. So go to our YouTube page if you have not yet and check out the Behind the Green Story Pines because it's really, really, really good. And you're going to be seeing, you know, this championship unfold for the next 4 days on this golf course, and now you're going to know a lot about how it got to that point, what it took. So big shout-out to Brendan and to Frankie because they crushed it. Storyline. So it came out, the pairings. We actually were joking with Craig on Tuesday's show about the pairings here at the U.S. Open. And it came out Tuesday from Brad Faxon on, I think, Sirius PGA Tour Radio or something like that, that essentially the USGA reached out to Bryson's team about pairing him with Brooks and that Bryson declined. That was like literally what Brad Faxon said. Everybody started quote tweeting this, you know, report,
yep,
clip from the radio and chirping. Bryson obviously calling him a bitch, calling him a coward, whatever you want to say. And so I reached out to the USGA. It was just like, is this true? And, you know, they ended up releasing a statement saying, like, we did not reach out to Bryson. Bryson's team put out a statement that said, we did not reach out to Bryson. A little bit, like, worded. Probably in that, like, they didn't reach out to Bryson. Maybe they reached out to Bryson's team. But this did come from Brad Faxon, who, if you don't know a lot about Brad Faxon, he put out in March, he was like, I've been talking to a lot of people. Looks like Brooks probably going to be out like 6 to 8 months. And Brooks, 2 weeks later, was like at the Masters tournament.
Yep.
And a month later, was in the final group of the PGA Championship.
Yep.
So that turned out to not be true. And then there are many people at Metacomet, which is a former golf club, I believe it's in Rhode Island, where Brad Faxon, like, grew up playing there. In 2019, crazy article if you haven't read this. 2019, he, like, spearheaded a group. This course was going out of business, basically. Like, they had 230 members or something. Donald Ross course, he had come in, like, 1920s and, like, redone it, turned it into, like, an awesome Donald Ross course, kind of, like, on the water and, like, this bay. It was really cool. And they had like 230 members, and it's known as like a really hard course. They had a bunch of single digit handicaps, like a golfers, like, you know, members club.
Mm-hmm.
But they're struggling 2019 financially, so they're like kind of out of options, and they're looking at different. So they decided to put the club up for sale, and a lot of them were like they really didn't want to turn it in, obviously, to like real estate or like maybe they'd partner and do different things. Well, Brad Faxon ended up coming in and like spearheading the whole thing with a couple other partners, and they bought the course, the club, for like, you know, $3 million or something. A bunch of it was like debt and back payments. So it was like $750K that they paid for the course. Well, you know, he had come in and they were like, oh yeah, Brad Faxon's our guy. He knew everybody in town. He knew a bunch of the members. He grew up playing there, all this stuff. And they had had these meetings being like, this is what we're going to do with the club. You know, it's going to be great. Well, as things went through 2019, the financials didn't look great. They opened it to a little bit of public play to kind of get through. The members weren't crazy about it. They're like, fine, we're trying to survive. There had been like proposals. They were going to put a couple condos on like the 11th and 12th holes and maybe reroute those holes, which the members were like, that kind of sucks, but fine, we're trying to survive. They had a meeting in like November of that year where they went over, Brad Faxon and company went over, like, this is kind of what we're doing and it's looking good and we're going to do X, Y, and Z. And everyone's like, great. It was then announced a few months later that they had just completely resold the place, were building to a real estate development firm. The course was effectively gone, and they're basically flipping the entire investment. So Brad Faxon, to these hundreds of people, they fucking despise him. And I've gotten DMs from these people, and emails from these people and such.
The Maya Comet course is gone.
Gone.
Wow.
The Met, yikes, as they call it. Meta Comet. It's just gone.
Oh, Meta Comet.
Yeah. So it's just gone. So people, yikes, again, so, you know. So then when I see, my point is, when I see then like reports that right, like
calling
Brad,
into question Brad Faxon's, right, a bit of his credibility.
We got our COVID test about the same time. We walked into this place together.
Did you?
Yeah. It's look, just, you know, yeah.
A little in fact, when you type it in, it says Meta Comet Golf Club. There's a red line on Wikipedia. I've never seen that. It just says permanently closed.
Well, everybody should type that in because I've never seen that.
You ever seen a red line like that?
That's bad.
It's brutal. A private club in East Providence, Rhode Island, in the United States, incorporated in 1901, 2020. They just,
it's gone.
Sold, gone. They're building developments on it, and it's over.
Oh,
isn't it insane?
It's crazy.
Insane, the whole story. And then Brad, they ended up, the reason it kind of made, you know, national news, and I was able to look a bunch of this stuff up yesterday and people started DMing me, was that, you know, the club members sued Brad, right, Faxon and company,
right,
for fraud.
Right.
You know, and like misleading.
Holy shit.
And there's like, apparently it's very common in these types of deals to do, and now we're just turned into, we're just roasting Brad Faxon.
Right.
Which I didn't think we were going to do that. But
well, you kind of did. Just going the story, down the story.
A little bit, yeah, I guess. But we're just going down the story that there's typically in a lot of these kinds of deals, there's like a clause, like a legal clause in the documents when it's originally sold at the point when Brad Faxon and his crew took it over, where it would be like, you know, no changes to the golf club are able to be made like until this date, which is usually far off in the future. And I guess that that clause was like mysteriously
removed.
Yes. And then there's like he said, she said stuff,
right,
before of like, yeah, no, they like on the 11th hour were like, yeah, no, that needs to come out. And so that makes people believe it was like premeditated. Like, oh, yeah, here's what we're going to do.
Oh, my God.
Which is like brutal. So
brutal. Because sometimes in those clubs, you buy in and you have like ownership equity in those clubs.
Right.
Other times, and it sounds like this was the case, where you're basically just paying a rental fee every year to use the property. And if the club, whoever, you know, the lead of it is in this case, it happens to be Brad Faxon Group, they just can take complete control of it.
Right.
And then you're just shit out of luck.
Sucks. And again, that they were like, you know, what sucks in reading the stories, and anybody can just Google this and read like all the details. I think it was Digest, you know, yeah, did like a really detailed piece on it. And you can read a lot of the testimony of the members where they're like, you know, like, yeah, we kind of got swindled because, like, when we learned that it was Brad Faxon, we were like, oh, this is our guy.
Right.
This
homegrown
is,
boy.
Totally. We're like, all right, Brad, like, lead us. Like, whatever you want here. This is great. He's like the man. He's Brad Faxon. He's and then they just flipped it and were like, fuck you. And it's like over. And there's even
quotes. I have a deeper question.
There's quotes from Brad Faxon after the fact when he was getting sued where he says, like, yeah, we didn't get into this investment for charity. This was like, this is business. Ooh. And stuff. And I was reading that. I was like,
it's cringeworthy.
Oh my God.
And I have a question. Was this the place that Brad grew up playing golf as a youngster?
Yeah.
Because if so, that's the sickest. Like, you've had all the success in the game of golf. Yes. Crazy success.
Yep.
Unparalleled. And then you just go home and destroy this very golf course that you were a boy on playing the game.
Look at this headline from Golf Digest. It says, Brad Faxon saved his childhood club. Members are now suing him for fraud. The curious case of Metacomet Golf Club.
I mean, based on this, Brad Faxon might win the PIP Award. I mean, there's a lot to learn about.
This is what I laid in my bed and read about. Look how sweet this place looks.
It's gone. Now there's a house. There's a condo in that green.
There's like a fucking concrete foundation in that hole that we just looked at right there on this computer screen. Look at this place. It looks awesome, Donald Ross.
Kidding me? Wow. Who knew?
Oh, look at these holes in the water. So all the Metacomet folks out there who you know, were reaching out, if some of them listen to this, you know, this is not a Brad Faxon slander podcast.
No.
But this segment kind of was. So, anyways, when Brad Faxon.
Way to bring it home. Here comes the bring it home statement.
Yeah, you like this? Back to the original point.
Let's finish out, fill out the circle here. When Brad Faxon. Is the source of like, yeah, the USGA reached out and Bryson declined, and then everyone's clinging to Bryson declined. And I'm like, the only person that's coming from is Brad Faxon. I was just a little hesitant to be like, oh, yeah, that's the most trustworthy guy on the internet.
Right. No, I mean, as you should.
It's also a rumor that you know Brad Faxon knows is going to just
clickbait.
It's going to blow up.
Right.
Because all the talk around golf has been about Brooks and Bryson these last couple months. And how people are dying for the USGA to pair them together Thursday and Friday. That's everybody. We didn't want that because we gave our reasons and whatever. Right. But the overwhelming opinion was like, put these two guys together. It'll be fireworks. So then, you know, right before the pairings come out or right after the pairings come out, you just float something that says, oh, they tried to do this. But Bryson said no. And it got to the point where it's almost – it's too unbelievable to believe. Like, you don't think that Bryson would actually do that. I don't think so. Like, right. if you ask me, do you think that Bryson was contacted and then he said, no, I don't want to be paired with Brooks? I think that's insane.
I do too. And good for Riggs for kind of batting an eye and be like, I don't know about this story. Like, and I don't know if this is believable right out of the gate.
It was because I remembered the Brooks Koepka thing. Because when he said that, it was like March 23rd. Because I went and... Today, when I saw that, my immediate radar went up of like, eh, the Faxon lately, I don't know. And so, and Metacomet's come back. But I just popped up and I was like, I want to make sure I have my facts right. And it was like, I believe it was March 23rd that his comment was like, yeah, I think this Brooks Koepka injury is more serious and people are leading on. I've been talking to a lot of people around the area, which, you know, I know a lot of people that he's seen and really wouldn't be surprised if this kind of injury. So he'll be out like 6 to 8 months. And literally 2 weeks later, he was playing in the Masters. And a month later, he almost won the PGA Championship. So I was like, I don't know that he's particularly, you know.
Plugged in
or like just accurate or trustworthy. And then when I tweeted that about. I was like, I'm not 100% convinced. I just tweeted that this morning. Then I started getting messages from people that were like, go look up what he did to us at fucking Metacomet. Right. You'll realize he's not trustworthy. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I just can't believe, like, doing that at another course or whatever, making financial decisions, not great, not advised. People are going to hate you for it. Going back to, like, your hometown course or the course that you kind of fell in love with the game of golf at and just burning it to the ground and putting condos all over it.
That's horrible.
Is psychotic. I mean, I associate kind of like learning the game of golf at Granite Links up in Boston is where we all started to play. Loved it. And just the thought of me like, I'm going to buy this place, turn it over, and then just put condos up and down because there's great views of like the city.
I'm going to make money on it.
It's like, you suck.
His quote. Look at this quote. I looked it up. We weren't doing this out of the goodness of our hearts. Some people think because people are successful or have money, they should do it out of charity. We came in as businessmen. This was a club that was bleeding for 15 years. That was his reaction in an interview after he was being sued.
To the people of his hometown. I mean,
that's like, crazy.
Drent's got a face like he just saw a ghost.
No, it's just a lot because I didn't know about that story. No, I feel like a lot of people don't.
No, I didn't really know about it either.
Yeah.
And you know, and they do, you know, in this piece, they go through a lot of like what Brad Faxon has done for charity over the years and stuff. So like clearly they're not trying to paint him just as this horrific guy. Right. But in this case, when I looked at that story, it's interesting to note that there are like a couple hundred people that were members of Metacomet who had been members there forever. And they put in the kind of anecdotes of one of the members, I think, was like 87 and was like, what is this guy going to join a new club now? He's 87. Oh, like, that's literally his club. That's who he plays with every day. Right. It's where he gets dinner, whatever. And that place is just gone. It's fucking condos now. And so the whole thing just put a bad taste in my mouth.
So
that.
Back to the original, the Bryson point. Does anyone on this podcast think that there's any shred of truth to what has been said?
The only reason I kind of, it's like the initial reaction is like, why would the USGA need anybody's approval? Like, the USGA doesn't ask people if they should be paired together or not.
Right.
The only thing that would make it a little different is that he is their current champion.
Yeah.
So, like, USGA currently has a very tight relationship with Bryson. Like, they're talking about, you know, returning the trophy, doing media obligations, what his week's going to look like as the defending champion. So they're, like, very in contact with Bryson.
Sure.
And with Brooks, because he's won two of the last, you know, four U.S. Opens. Right. So, like, those things, if they were just...
Totally. And it is a very big story.
Yeah. So, like, that is the only reason that made me think, like, maybe they would feel it out a little bit before they did it. But again, like, hearing from them and some of those statements that have been released, like, I just don't, you know, I think, like, Faxon could have heard that, like, there were whispers and maybe, you know, Bryson's agent had been, like, telling people behind the scenes, like, yeah, we're not, like, in love with that. And he went and ran with, like, Bryson declined to the USGA.
Yeah.
So, like, that seems more likely to me, yeah, than something like that. I don't think it's, like, out of the realm of possibility that they could have floated it before they did it, just because he's their champion.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like, based on, you know, our guy Brad here, that he could have overheard, like, a dinner conversation of, like, would you even, like, consider playing with Brooks, you know, on, like, on day one? Like, would you like that? And, you know, I'd rather play with someone else if I could, but, like, whatever. I also think that with Pip and with both of them being kind of, like, grow the game guys to a certain point and thinking this storyline's good for golf, like, I bet you they would be open to it. I really don't think that there is much of anything backing Brad's story, and I certainly don't think the USGA reached out on any official level.
I agree with that, and I think a big part of that is what we've been saying the whole time, where they know as well as we know that when they meet on that first tee, they're just going to play golf.
Right.
They're going to tee it up, and they're going to play golf. It's going to be fine.
Like, I don't think either one of them really cares that much once they tee off. It's like,
yeah.
You know, like, is if Bryson hits one into the left rough and Brooks is in the fairway, is Bryson now rattled for the? No, he's like, I'm in the left rough. Here are my options. They're just playing golf.
The only thing that Brooks could get upset, like, if the pace of play gets outrageous or something like that, that would be some in the moment thing that would maybe frustrate him.
Yeah.
But U.S. Open, and with everything going on, like, if they play together, I think they'd just be so both dialed in to executing and, like, again, beating the other individual, that I don't think really would become an issue, and it would be incredible.
The only thing that might escalate it is the crowd, because then all of the Brooksy stuff gets magnified, where in the past and recently it's been Bryson's just out on the course somewhere, Brooks is out somewhere, but there are Brooks people around Bryson saying Brooksy. That gets, like I said, magnified if they're playing together, but even so, I don't think it gets too crazy.
Yeah, I agree with that, 100%. I mean, it would never happen, but, like, on a tee box, if somebody said, like, oh, good shot, good rip there, Brooksy, or something like that to Bryson, it would be cool in my eyes if Brooks was like, dude, just chill out. Like, you know, let's go play this game. But I don't think he would ever do that.
No. And, I think it would be fans more than it would be the two of them.
Yeah.
Totally.
I think either one of them would really care. But you're right. Like, if everyone's Brooksy and chirping, I could see Bryson getting a little flustered. But I doubt that the whole thing's as real as facts and try to report it.
We'll be out there, so we'll be hearing if there's any Brooksies to Bryson
we'll
or anything.
Right there. Yeah. We'll be listening. We will be listening. I will say, you know, Brooks has commented on whether it's good or bad. He said the fact that golf's on pretty much every news outlet for about 2 weeks pretty consistently, I think that's a good thing. It's growing the game. You know, the younger generation, I get the traditionalists who don't agree with it. I understand that. But I think to grow the game, you got to reach out to the younger generation. I think that's what, I don't want to say that's what this is, but it's reaching out to a whole bunch of people. It's getting golf in front of people. I think that's 100% correct.
Totally.
You know, I saw some folks being like, you know, I think, I don't know who it was, but I think it was David Duvall who said, yeah, it's reaching new people, but is it the kind of people you want to reach, is what he said, which I was like, yeah, it is. Like, you want to reach
new people. Exhausting.
Is an exhausting point of view. And I agree with what Brooks is saying there. I would maybe say that he stumbled upon that explanation. Like, when this whole first thing started, I don't think he was thinking in the back of his head, like, I'm trying to grow the game of golf here. I think he's thinking, I'm going to turn the screws on this guy, and I know that – people will go out there and they'll call him Brooksy, and that'll freak him out. Because I do think there's a very real part of Brooks that doesn't like Bryson. Just
totally
as,
agree.
You know what I mean? As a general idea and what he represents. But I don't think Brooks went into originally thinking what he says in that quote.
No, and I don't think that'd be even fair to ask him to like be that strategic about his decisions. Fair. Like, I'd rather to be more transparent in the way it is, and then him realizing at the end of the day that it has reached so many more eyes, like golf is in front of so many more people, like that outcome is tremendous.
Agreed.
And then Duval coming in with like, is that the right kind? It's like, you're the wrong person. Like, we need less of that answer. Like, get it to everybody. Agreed. See golf, see the players, promote the players, promote that people don't like each other, that we talk about, of just like there is going to be some frustrations with individuals. Let that play out. Let those storylines run. And then I think the whole game grows because of that, because personalities and teams are like what people follow.
Look, like this has got Dave Portnoy talking about it. Like,
right.
Dave's tweeting about it, right? Like, he could tweet about anything and it matters. He takes a stock and starts tweeting about it. It goes up and down. Like, he picks a sport and starts tweeting about it. And like, that team and their odds flip from underdog to like, you know. And so now you've got him, his choosing of his bandwidth of stuff to like care and tweet about.
Right.
This has been at the top on right. many days when the fireworks are kind of flying. And that's a good thing. And, you know, is it immediately forcing people to be like, I'm going to go buy a set of clubs and definitely play golf now? No. But like, is that how you grow golf? No. There's nothing that would get people to just go do that except the pandemic, which is a horrible thing. But like, right. that can get numbers up. Sure. But in terms of like getting eyeballs, ears, interest on the game, this is undoubtedly helping. It's going to make people tune in to the U.S. Open. It's going to make people tune in when these names end up on the leaderboard, and that's a good thing. Gets them interested in the game. Gary Woodland said, I think it would have been great if they got paired together. I think the fans, all my friends back home, everybody was talking about it. I think it's good for the game. Brooks didn't play for 2 weeks, and he's been all over ESPN, all over the sports news. I think that's good. So just kind of reiterating the same stuff.
Woodland, Kansas guy. One of the good people from Kansas. You know, we spoke to some ugly people. One of the good guys from Kansas.
And yeah. Bryson took the growing the game. He took that opinion as well, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
He said very similar stuff. I'm like, I think it's good. It doesn't bother me, no. He's like, it's good. It's a good thing for the game. I enjoy it. So he's taking that road as well. So I think everybody's kind of going there. A point that you made that's very important, Trent, is that like that the original video that really kicked all of this off was from a genuine place.
Yeah.
That was Brooks Koepka literally could not do an interview because he was so disgusted by Bryson DeChambeau's antics just mm-hmm. walking by him
right.
and muttering to himself and making a preposterous amount of noise, which, by the way, those Puma shoes – they do make an amazing amount of noise. We've seen just a few other golfers walk around, and the only people I think that make that much noise when they walk by are the guys rocking Puma.
Could be very true.
Right?
Yes.
Like, oh, it's yeah, been no. crazy.
That's true. Yeah.
So I kind of am, I'm a little bit more siding with him in that case where it was like,
not his fault.
They're so loud when they walk by on the concrete. It's amazing. You're like, what the fuck is that? But that was so real.
Right.
Was,
and that's the real catalyst for this whole thing. Because if we weren't sure, or we were kind of sure that it was all fake and that they just were, you know, we talk about Pip a lot or whatever, but just trying to grow the game and trying to get more interest, people would just be like, blah.
Right.
But if you get genuine dislike and disdain one guy to another, that makes people tune in.
Well, whoever released that video is like the shining star,
or the puppet master,
honestly, of all this. Because like, it's almost like diversifying the brand of golf. And that's a lot of words put together. But you think of like golf, you think of just
not
like
that many words.
No, though. But
there's one big one. There's a big one in there.
Yeah, diversifying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But anyways, you think of golf, you think of like the PGA, USGA, you think of like these overarching brands, but you don't think of personalities as much outside of like the top players. And so I think if they do continue to promote all these players, like you eventually like side like, oh, I really like Bryson, I really like Brooks. And then it starts to go into like other pockets. And I think that only helps people get behind certain players, be more interested in them. Hey, maybe I'll give the game of golf a try. Like, he does it, she does it, let's give it a whack. And so,
yeah.
No, I think it's a net positive. I think we need to do more of it.
And look, are they clearly leveraging that genuine dislike to try to earn more Pip points? Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Like, clearly. It'll probably end up in some one-on-one made-for-TV match or whatever it is. That it's not lost on us that that is an aspect of amplifying the whole thing, but it comes from a very real place. And it did years ago when they were hating each other on the, you know, at Liberty National, I think it was, when it was like Bryson playing slow and Brooks wanted to, like, they almost fought. They were talking about like fighting each other. They literally were talking about fighting each other.
Right.
On the putting green, didn't he say, like, have him come up and talk to my face or something? It was crazy.
Yeah, and then, like, one of them, you know, Brooks ended up just tweeting a picture of all four of his major trophies at him.
Right, about
his abs. And, yep. You know, it was crazy. Like, Bryson was doing a live stream with, when he was like, well, he doesn't even, his body's not even that good. He doesn't even have abs or something. Like, this is literally what they've been saying to each other for years.
So, yeah, it really has been a long time.
Yeah, it's been years. It's been years. Also feels like it's been years since things have been open. Summer's been on the horizon, but we're there. We've been dreaming up trips to the beach.
Talking Seaside?
Correct.
Ooh.
Which you're a Seaside kind of guy. I declared that a few shows ago. We can always count on our folks at Peter Millar. They've got you covered this summer with their new Hyper Light Slide Flip Flop. This goes along with their Seaside stuff. But you may have heard of their awesome Hyper Light Glide sneakers. We've been wearing those for years. They're awesome. They've taken the same focus on lightweight comfort and style and applied it to these sandals. I own these. I wear these around Phoenix all the time. Perfect at the beach or the boardwalk. These brand new flip-flops feature an anatomically molded footbed that delivers made-for-you comfort.
What does that mean, just comfort? Yeah.
Just amazing comfort.
You a big flip-flop guy, Lurch? Feel like you are.
Love flip-flops.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, we wear mandatory fines. We're talking about the beach. We're talking about the ocean. Need a pair of flops to get down, jump in the ocean real quick.
Seriously.
What was the percentage chance you were going to jump in the ocean with me today?
Oh, 4.
4 out of 100?
Yeah.
Guy's allergic to the sun, dude.
Yeah, man.
I mean, that's low. That's disrespectful.
I thought his was lower. He was sitting in a chair. You think he was going to get up?
I love that just disqualified me.
Yeah. Right, do you think he could get up?
Well, Trent's sitting in a chair right now. You think that dude's getting up?
If he was just walking around like a normal walk-around person, maybe. But you have to get him out of that chair.
So if you were walking, what would be your percentage chance? You think
it'd
six?
Be a little higher. Maybe one of these days, if we're walking down the beach wearing these flip-flops, I'll run in there with
That's
you.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The soft, super comfortable rubber soles provide anti-scuff and anti-slip protection that won't mess up the boat. If you're on a boat, love a good boat. Trust us, you got to grab a pair before you head to the beach or pool this summer. Head over to petermillar.com/4. Check out the Hyperlite Slide flip-flops and other footwear styles perfect for the season. They really do have amazing flip-flops and footwear styles. So go over to petermillar.com/4 and check them out. Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods video emerges, about 15-second video of him in L.A. Don't know what he was doing there, on crutches, but walking. A little bit moving himself,
putting a little bit of weight on that.
Yeah,
on
a little bit of weight was put on that right leg.
Did he get his first operation in LA though?
Yeah.
Okay, so probably going to see those original doctors.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
kind of a little checkup. You know, I think it was reported by like Tiger Woods Legion. So I don't know how. Right. I think that's probably pretty accurate. Guy seems to be all over the case.
Always.
But reported that he was there for like less than 24 hours.
Okay.
So it might have just been a quick checkup with the doctors.
Yep.
But then again, he's a pretty injured guy, so it's gotta be a pretty serious deal if he's flying.
PJs.
I mean, yeah, he gets on in a nice car.
He might have a Harrier jet.
Right to the fucking.
I hope it's not him driving. If he doesn't want to, and probably doesn't, he doesn't have to see anybody he doesn't want to see.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, yeah, like we go to the airport and it's like. Like, I got to, like, take a deep breath before I walk into an airport because I just know what's about to happen where I'm going to be poked and prodded and I got to press buttons and I got to talk and I got to put tags on my bag and I got to walk through security and then I got to hopefully find, you know, a coffee place that I like. And it's just – it's really a sensory overload that I'm just like –
Sounds awful.
But that's just, like, a pretty normal standard airport visit where Tiger's just like, I get in a car, one guy drives me there, I get in a plane, another person flies me there, and it's just that the whole time. So what we're saying is it's not that big of a trip.
No, it's not. I mean, I'm sure whatever, you know, the way he travels is elegant. The way we travel.
Inelegant.
Yes, exactly. I will say he had a little kind of like Johnny Depp facial hair going on.
It was a little scruffy.
It was.
What'd you think of that?
I was fine with it. Guy that's been kind of relaxing and also probably in a lot of pain and rehabilitating himself and just
it seems
facial hair. He's been inside a lot.
Yeah, it seems when he is inside a lot, he just likes to grow facial hair. Because I think that first picture of him, what picture was that? Where he, like, oh, like a champions dinner night when the Masters wasn't actually taking place, and he had like a nice beard going on. So I think
when he was kind of giving a mean mug to whoever took the photo there, he was like standing next to a cart.
No, no, no. I'm talking about a picture that he took with his family.
Oh, okay.
The dogs were in it. Yeah. You know what I mean? I could be misremembering, but I think that was the
during
first
the quarantine last year. Yes. Man.
And he had like more facial hair than we were prepared for. Mm-hmm. And I do think when he's just at home, he's like, I'm going to grow this out. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, I could tell. I mean, relax a little bit. Every step of his life up until this point, he's been in the front facing every camera.
So. Might be tough for him to shave, too. Like, he's got to stand there. He can't stand. So he's leaning, and it's, like, uncomfortable, and he might fall over because his leg doesn't work.
That's a good point. You know I'm thinking he's got some, like, floating chair through his bathroom.
Well, he's not Yoda.
Right, I know, but like, you know those shower seats that come down that he can sit in the seat? Yeah, I'm thinking that he's got something like that near the sink.
I also think if he wants that beard hair off, it's coming off, whether he's doing it or he just hires someone to do it.
But then again, you would also have thought, like, if he wouldn't drive himself anywhere. Like, you know, I think he likes to take, like, he likes to do stuff.
That's fair.
So maybe he's like, I don't know that he would get to a point of him being like, hey, shaving's kind of a pain in the ass. Like, you gonna shave me today? Like, I don't. You
know I mean, yeah, it might just be like when Letterman was done with his show, he was like, "I'm just doing a beard."
Yeah, that's
what doing a big old beard.
Yeah, exactly.
You feel free.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly could be it.
All in all, I think that's a positive video.
Me too.
Totally. Him outside, us seeing him. Riggs made a point today that he didn't amputate his leg. I mean, all positive signs.
It was touch and go there for a good 100%. Amount of time.
And I go, that's a tough thing to argue with.
He could have easily been wheelchaired out of that thing today, and I wouldn't have been stunned.
Great point.
You know what I mean? And instead, he was like, he was able to get from a door to a car on his own.
Yeah.
That's great.
What did you tweet out? Is he coming to play in the Open?
Yeah, man. Coincidence? The guy's got an unbelievable record at Torrey Pines, and he just appears in Southern California days before the tournament.
You and I had a very serious conversation at the golf course about whether or not we think Tiger Woods is going to show up to Torrey.
You have me convinced, I think.
Just as like, obviously not to play, but just as like, the last time it was here, it was a very big deal. Tiger was very involved. He's in California, clearly. I thought maybe, in my head.
What way would he show up? In one of these like Navy helicopters that we see?
Who knows? I didn't work out the details, but I'm just saying like
flying over like George W. Bush and Katrina.
No, I know. No. I didn't work out the details. I'm just saying like I got like a little
just looking.
I got like butterflies in my stomach seeing him being California and Torrey Pines taking place and obviously all the history with him here. Like I just thought maybe it was a conversation I wanted to have.
You had me convinced because like you said, he's got such ties. He's from Southern California. He's won at Torrey Pines like a billion times. The 2008 win has been amplified even more
They put a plaque out there.
Yes,
today.
How much it meant to him to play in that tournament that he played it with a broken leg and a torn ACL and then won the thing that you had me kind of convinced that like he might just appear on site. Now, would they treat him like a president that goes to like the Army Navy game? Like, what would they treat him like? How would he can't just crutch around the thing. Like, I don't know what he would do.
It'd be a scene. That's all I know.
No, he's got to be elevated. You can't have him in a cart.
He's got to be elevated.
He's got to hover.
But the clubhouse here like stinks, so it's not like
get like a golf cart version of the Pope Mobile.
Yes, that'd be awesome.
With the bulletproof glass around him, he's just waving at people. That'd be pretty amazing.
Dude,
actually.
I would love
a golf
that.
Cart that looks like the Pope Mobile. Tiger Woods driving around Torrey Pines. That's a magic moment.
Dude in a red shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Maybe just like a red tee.
This is absurd.
I love
it. But it'd be amazing.
It would be amazing. I think if there were still no fans, there's be a good chance he would show up.
No, you can't do it no fans, and it's weird. Now he's going to get people cheering and look. But
people
like
are
Trent says,
going nuts.
No, but they got to look up at him like they do the Pope.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah. If you're looking down to the golf cart as he's driving by, it's like this is not right. He needs to be up. He needs to be elevated. And they're almost, needs to be like red flags.
Yeah.
Some sort of like.
People need to be throwing roses at it.
Right. Yes. And if he's in that situation, they could almost kind of do what they did with FDR for years. They prop him up. You can't even tell he's injured.
Right.
Where he's like sitting in this throne thing. He doesn't need the crutches. And the whole mobile moves on its own. And it's like, he's back. He's just like conquered Torrey Pines.
I gotta be honest. It feels like kind of a miss if they don't do this, you know? You said something interesting that I didn't know before. You said that he was only there for 24 hours.
I saw that again from the TW spot account.
Okay.
So
didn't we claim that was Trent years back?
Well,
we had a little bit of fun with it. The guy took it very personally.
I know, which we were laughing about it, but he never revealed his identity ever, so I just wanted to claim that it was me to then force
which
him
was
to be
a
like,
fun joke we did.
Yeah, it was. But
he ended up demanding an apology from Frankie, and he got one.
Oh, wow.
He just tweeted relentlessly for days being like, this.
He was ruining my reputation.
Yeah, he said,
I'm sorry
that's right.
To you out there.
No, he said we were ruining his reputation, and Frankie specifically. He made Frankie apologize, and Frankie delivered a very heartfelt apology.
I do trust that account, though, when I see it now.
Totally. That's why I brought it up on the show.
Yeah.
Because I only bring up things that have been vetted vigorously.
Right. Yeah. We don't want another Brad Faxman segment on our hands.
No. Not on my watch.
It was funny. The day that you tweeted that out, we then saw him next to the putting green. His cart was parked right next to the putting green. We were standing in front. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
We thought he was going to.
Yeah. I thought. So we were standing in front of a cart, just a random cart next to the putting green. Brad Faxman rolls up, gets into the cart, and I was like, he's going to run Riggs over.
Dude, if he would have just floored the cart, it would have just ran me over, and he would have eliminated me right there at the putting
green. How close did he stop to you? Did you look at him a little weird?
No, it wasn't a stop. He, like, slid into the cart.
If this is the front of the cart, sorry for the listeners.
Yeah. This is me.
If that's Riggs' barstool.
I'm huge.
And you're gigantic in this scenario. Giant. And the putting green's right here. We're yucking it up, trying to get stuff. And then Brad Faxman just walks, and then we had to move.
Yeah, otherwise, we literally had to move.
We're literally, like, Riggs was probably leaning on it at some point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So might like, even this is my car. You got to move.
We just, context clues, we were like, oh, this guy's getting in. We got to get out.
Yeah.
I might have even, like, rested my right leg on it at one point.
Yeah.
And that's how close it was. This was after you tweeted out?
Hours later.
Yeah.
And he had also, there's certain, like, areas where people congregate. Yes. He had been in our shared area, and we had been watching him interact with some other people. And a notable name, especially to this show, who we're not going to mention, is reported that from someone that could see over my shoulder that he had gone up to him and, like, Brad Faxon had tried to, like, fist bump and even shake the hand of this person, and that this person, like, declined, and that it looked a little bit contentious. So,
well, if you decline a fist bump, I mean, I would say
fighting words.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not even going to agree to a bump.
Right in front of your face, point-blank bump.
There's beef. There's big beef.
That's beef.
Yeah. So things were we knew we were all both in the same vicinity. Sure, you know how you can kind of like sense that guy knew I tweeted about him, and he's around, and we're all around, and then he gets in a cart, and me and Trent are standing right there. It was a little bit dicey for a second.
It was.
And then we were like, we were talking to the Auburn kid. What's his name? Do you remember his name?
No.
I texted it earlier. He's great. Him and his crew are going to Pinehurst next week. So they came over and were chatting with us, and we were doing kind of the Andrew Cozen, qualified, who I think graduated from Auburn like last year.
Playing in the U.S. Open, qualified.
Playing in the U.S. Open. So we were chatting with like him and his caddy and his boys, and we like had – they were on like one side of the fence, the player's side. We were on the other side, and then Faxon's cart was right there. So we kind of had a little bit of a posse, and then it was a little bit awkward, but it was like in order for him to clear his cart, which is also kind of like a little bit of a – he's like an elitist in this scenario.
He has a cart. It's a good representation of what's going on.
And we're just like the common folk standing there, and he's like going to run over the common folk with his cart.
We had a couple of Faxon interactions today. You shared a lot of mutual space.
We did. And then we just buried him on the podcast today. So right. Who knows what things
I just didn't see it coming. I knew about the Brooks thing and how he'd been off on some of that. Mm-hmm. And then Meta Comet comes up, and I'm like, what's going on here? And then we just talked about it for 25 minutes.
Right.
And
I looked at Brad Faxon when I walked in the other day. We were both getting COVID shots. No big deal. And
COVID tests.
Thank you. And anyways.
It'd be weird if you got a shot of COVID.
Right. It would be very weird. We got our COVID tests. And we're walking in together. And, I'm, you know, that's Brad Faxon. And now hearing all this, I'm like.
Totally. Look, I'm not saying Brad Faxon's a terrible person. I legit just
made some missteps.
I reported a story.
Right, and I would say, based on that story, I would say he made some missteps in his life.
Yeah, and you know, we all have.
Right.
So who knows, you know, what else you can judge the guy by. 8 times he's won on the PGA Tour and regarded as one of the great putters of all time. I've used some of his putting tips in – you know, like trying to work on my putting stroke and such. So Brad Faxon is, you know, he's Brad Faxon. He's got kind of a legendary status and career, especially in today's game. They just don't love him in Meta Comet. Okay. Talk about the tournament real quick. Oh, we can go green reading books. Green reading books, it looks like, are going to be banned. I don't know what the official announcement was on that. I don't think there's one yet, but there's like reports that the tour is about to announce that green reading books are going to be banned. Rory McIlroy said, I'd like to get rid of them, who noted that he uses green reading books. I think everyone is in the same boat. Most guys in tour are in the same boat, that if it's going to be available to us and it helps us, people are going to use it. But I think for the greater good of the game, I'd like to see them be outlawed. I believe we've been on this side for years.
Yeah.
I mean, they're ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
They're ridiculous. That the fact that those are allowed is ridiculous.
It's just, it's going to pick up the pace of play. It just, looking at that thing all day, matching sprinkler heads, looking at breaks is just ridiculous.
It's a skill of the game to be able to read greens. It right. is a legitimate skill of the game. Just like, it's no different of like, if you just had a wind reading device over every shot, that would be the same thing. Like, you're supposed to judge the wind and how it's affecting your shot and then hit, you know, the ball. Whereas like, if you just stood there with a device that told you everything, it's almost like you're just playing Tiger Woods 2006, where you just pull the joystick back and straight. Like, that's not
that
what
is
golf
what
is.
I was thinking. Actually, that the two things that you just mentioned are in video games. It's when you right. stand over it that you say like, oh, it's going 11 miles per hour to the left to right or whatever. And then you get on the green and there's all these beads and you can see all these beads and it's like, oh, so these guys are just kind of playing with these video game green reading books. It's just, yeah.
Right. After they've putted on them all week right. to get prepped and ready for it. It's not like the green is changing at all. Right. You know, they know where the pins are about roughly going to be, and they can putt to them. They can figure it out. And to have a green reading book on top of that is absolutely outrageous. So I'm super pro, and I think we're all super pro that that's going to be wiped.
Another, yeah, a similar kind of case is and to kind of relate it to what Rory said about, like, yeah, I use it, but, like, if it's available, I got to use it. Same deal that Xander was talking about. Because Xander, I think at the PGA, maybe it was brought up, or maybe shortly afterwards, that he's, you know, using one of those putters that essentially, like, anchors, if you will, against, like, your forearm.
Dangerous
and,
word.
And it is a dangerous word. I'm going to use that on purpose. I think they should fucking get rid of that shit. But he was asked about it and said, yeah, I think they should get rid of that. But they haven't. And other people are using it, and they're just putting better. So why the fuck wouldn't I use it? Right. I have to use it.
Take the advantage.
And yeah. And the same kind of situation with Rory, where he's just like, no, I use the books because this book just tells me how it's going to break, mm-hmm. but I don't think they should be allowed. And I think that's probably where most people feel.
100%. Yeah. The fact that, like, you can hit the ball on the green, have putted there all week and prep for, obviously, this tournament, and then on top of that, you're, like, locating the ball on the green to your book and then picking out the spot and be like, oh, no, it breaks this much, is just the wrong thing.
It's just stupid.
Yeah.
It's just genuinely stupid. John Rahm. So I want to talk a little bit about just kind of the tournament and who we like. And I just got to say, like, I don't think I've seen a single analyst yet that hasn't convinced me that John Rahm already has the tournament locked up.
People are loving him.
Loving him.
I don't really even understand why. Like, I know that he's – but – I just don't understand why he's so above and beyond everybody else.
I mean, it's a little bit emotional because they're even, you know, when they're bringing in the fact that he got, like, engaged on property, you're like, all right, like, that doesn't have anything to do with his fucking golf game.
No, but he's got good vibes here. As long as, and I hope, that their marriage is going well. I think they have a kid now, so I think
it sounds like, yeah, it is,
sounds
yeah,
like
yeah,
things
that's
are
a good
going
sign,
well.
Yeah.
Right. But as long as everything's going, then it feels like he's got good vibes coming into the property.
Look, we're in fucking San Diego. It's 75 and sunny, and you're looking at the ocean. Everybody has good vibes here.
And it'd be a good story with everything that's been going on with him.
Yeah.
It'd be just like, wow, what a turnaround and what, like, a couple weeks it's been for John Rahm.
Now, I should say, I sound like I'm playing devil's advocate here. I'm like, I'm very convinced now that he's just going to win the tournament.
Right. I have him to win.
Yeah, you'd be crazy not to at uh-huh. this point.
He's the favorite, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
10-1.
Which is crazy.
Barstool Sportsbook. That's like getting close to, you know, Tiger numbers back in the day. I mean, Tiger was a pick'em, but I mean, even when Tiger was in that, Tiger was in that area where he was like, when he wasn't totally dominant Tiger, but he was still the favorite all the mm-hmm. time. You know, he was like 7-8-1, I feel like. And I mean, he's 10-1 at a major. I don't feel like we've seen someone that's been like single digits to one at a major in a while. And he's 10-1. That's pretty fucking
close. Yeah, it just
close.
Doesn't seem like there's enough value there, but yeah, I mean, people are picking him. I'm picking him. I think there's something in the air, and maybe.
Oh, you're drinking the Kool Aid.
I am. I'm fully
the Rahm Kool Aid.
Yeah, no, I'm a believer that Rahm's going to win this thing.
DJ's 15-1. DeChambeau 16-1, Brooks 18-1, Rory 18-1.
Rooting for a Brooks, Bryson, obviously. Both of them play, you know, well. Yeah. Being that. That's, it's almost boosting both of their fandoms now, because it's like you want both of them to play well so that you get a storyline where they clash.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because I once claimed on a Barstool Rundown that I thought Bryson had less than five fans. Because just because, like, genuine.
That's a gut punch.
No, but like, you know, there's not like. Maybe there are now with what you're saying.
It feels like a malicious comment.
No.
I mean, five.
Okay. Like
five, Trent.
All right. It was hyperbole. Okay. You know?
All right.
As we're off to do.
Yeah, we do.
But I'm just saying.
Oh, we do.
I'm just saying, like, there's not many, not that I know of, like we were talking about Bryson shirts. This is when it originally came up, where it's like, I was thinking about making, like, the Hulk shirt where when you start to, it's normal, and then when you sweat, he becomes the Hulk, whatever. But I was like, how many of those are we going to sell? I feel like there's just not many people who, like, want to have Bryson on their chest.
Right.
And we decided to not even make the shirts because we didn't think anybody would buy them.
Right, and that's what I mean.
Well, we were worried about the technology out there originally, and then it was found out to be true.
I got flooded with DMs from people being like, that is a real thing that you could do.
Right.
But then it came down to, yeah, I don't think many people are going to buy that
the
shirt.
The sweat technology?
The sweat technology to turn it into something different. But I don't know why did we get on the topic of me
five
saying,
fans?
Yeah. Well, I don't know why I said that.
Who knows? Oh, we're talking about, I just said that both their fandoms rise.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they both play well. Whereas, like, but they've got a little bit of Harry Potter going on where it's like neither can live while the other survives, which is if Bryson plays really well but Brooks doesn't, then everyone's like, oh, well, fuck that. I'm not rooting for that. Or if Brooks plays really well, like, you're not necessarily going to be like, oh, all right, let's go Brooks now. Whereas if they both play well, you're kind of rooting for both of them because you want them to be there at the end.
It's a good point.
Yeah, so it's an interesting scenario.
So you guys are both fully ROM.
Fully ROM.
Anybody else, you know? You got your eye on?
Yeah, Xander.
Okay.
Xander. Scottie Scheffler.
Ooh. He's had a good, like, he's kind of had a little smirk on him all week.
Very much. Also, the guys, like, we were talking about this, leaving the range. The guys that have just been grinding out there, like Henrik Stenson has been out there for all too long.
Yeah.
It just feels like he's just working, trying to find something that's not there. We saw another individual. I don't know. You know, Matt Wolf didn't seem so positive on it. And just saying golf's hard. But you see these guys
grinding
out there.
I love Matt Wolf, by the way.
He's tremendous.
Dude, just catching up with him was awesome. And, like, he's clearly said, like, you know, like, not everybody goes through the best times all the time. And we were chatting with him today. He's just such an open book and, like, such a cool, young, normal dude that, like, no. Do I think he's going to play great this week? No. Man, I'm rooting for that guy. He's awesome.
100%. And he stayed with us for, like, 5 minutes just chatting about nothing. And he's a good, young-hearted kid that's going to – he's got an outrageous amount of talent.
So yeah,
it's like he's going to go ups and downs. But anyways, you see these guys. Like, Stenson was one. He was on the range for way too long. And it's just like a guy.
Every time I've looked at the range, Stenson's on the range.
Okay.
Right. He's just going to grind it out, try to find a swing, and I bet you he's going to shoot six over and miss the cut.
The only thing that I would say at that point is we watched – at Kiowa, Frankie and I, we witnessed Phil Mickelson do the same thing.
Oh, really?
Grind.
This is amazing that you guys have told me that.
Grind. Almost to the point where we thought he looked a little lost.
You guys have said the word.
Just kind of like he was out there.
Is it a Bet Stenson play?
I'm just saying to maybe.
Like, yeah, maybe. Get on the Barstool Sportsbook. Yeah,
that is kind of what I'm saying.
Take Stenson if you can find a top 20 finish.
If you would ask Frankie and I how we thought Phil Mickelson was going to perform at the PGA Championship, we would have said he's going to miss the cut by a bazillion strokes.
Yikes.
And he won the tournament.
He won it.
No, you definitely won.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about.
The other guy I like is Charlie Hoffman.
Okay. I love Charlie Hoffman.
I think that's a sneaky play this week.
He's a local guy.
I know.
Yeah.
I think that's a sneaky good play.
You think
play.
So?
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Streelman's 180-1.
Oh, by the
safe
way.
Safe money.
Something to think about.
Huge interaction with the boys today with the man of Streel. I mean, he's our guy.
Couldn't be more of our guy.
He's awesome.
And getting better by every time. I mean, that interaction was just like so normal, so easy. Yeah, like I bought Riggs a steak. No, I didn't really look at
even
it. Like
chirping a little
bit.
Yeah, like, yeah, he tried to slip me a $10 bill or something.
Yeah, he seems like a very nice and pretty normal guy.
Yeah, he's great. The man of Streel. Matthew Fitzpatrick, we chatted with him today. Love Fitz. You know, I feel like he would be a good U.S. Open player. He likes really hard golf courses. Mm-hmm. So you know, I also said that about Wingfoot, and he just couldn't get it going. I think he missed the cut at Wingfoot. But I think Matty Fitz is a good sneaky pick this week. He's also, like, sneaky, I think, 20th in the world I'm looking at right now. That's amazing.
Matty Fitz?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Holy shit.
20th in the world that guy is. So kind of like him. And there's a lot of stories. Like Tony Finau, he plays really, really well at Torrey Pines. They obviously play Torrey Pines South every January, so he has a really good track record there. You know, he mentioned that a lot of the holes go left to right. He loves to fade the ball, so they're, you know, appealing to his eye. So he's another name, but I mean, now you're just kind of rattling off a lot of the top names.
Patrick Reed, 20-1. I don't hate that.
Don't hate that at all. You know, he just won here, so right. I mean, he clearly can play here. Mm. Billy Horschel, we're really, really awkward around when we see him. Don't really know what to do.
Yeah.
I gave our boy Poulter today a nice shot, and he goes, get down after. Poulter hit a drive off the sixth.
Yeah.
Explain that, because that was actually a funny interaction.
It came from a good place.
It did.
Yeah.
So Poulter, he's on the sixth. We're on the sixth for whatever reason. And anyways, first
Cisco.
One.
Cisco's the reason.
I know. I saw the ad read. I was waiting. I didn't know when you wanted to jump in. Love Cisco.
Lurch.
They had 88 cameras.
By the way. Let's take a moment to talk about how good this 4D technology is, because you guys all saw my swing at the US Women's Open, which was hideous. But you saw it, and you saw it in four dimensions. The thing where it starts at the side, and then it swirls over to the back, and then it like goes up and then goes back to the side. 88 cameras they got with this thing. All week long, powered by Cisco, they're going to be able to have replay the footage from 180-degree angle. You can go on and interact with it. You can manipulate it where you look at everybody's swing on the app, the U.S. Open app. You can look at their swing, and you can, like, pick which angle you want to watch it from, all 88 different cameras, and, like, basically fly around like a fucking ghost and, like, pick how you want to watch Rory swing or anybody swing on the app. So Cisco, they're making it possible for fans to have an incredibly unique viewing experience, even better than last year. What's even better, you can actually interact, like I said, control the footage. So essentially you're kind of like God with a camera.
They said manipulate. You can manipulate the camera any way that you want to basically view the swing from a different angle.
It's awesome. So download the US Open app directly from the App Store. This is something extremely cool, extremely unique that our friends at Cisco are making possible. They also were there for the LTP. They made it possible for all those young ladies to meet their families that were graduating, that were playing their last collegiate round, and we all saw those moments. So Cisco's awesome. They do a great job.
We did it. I mean, we've swung.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't wait to see my swing.
I'm actually excited, too.
I pushed my ball 250 yards right. So I'm going to be as open as you can potentially be in that. Yeah. 40 video, whatever.
Yeah, you'd probably be a little open and impact.
Oh, boy. I can't wait to see it. It'll
Riggs hit a good picture. One.
I hit a good one. Trent, you hit a good one.
I hit a good one, too, yeah.
I will say,
did you say I hit a good one so that I would say you hit a good one?
100%.
Yeah.
To be fair to me, your first ball that I saw this weekend was horrible with Kisner. Your first ball on that tee box was also horrible.
It wasn't horrible. It bounced in the rough.
And then went into the crud.
Potentially, yeah.
My first ball was bad, too. So I think my next swing is going to be tremendous.
All right, that's fair. That's a fair point.
Yeah.
Cisco is great. We were staying on the 6T because we were filming our swings, which you'll be able to see on the internet with Cisco. But Poulter rolled up.
So Poulter rolls up. First ball, he actually pushes right. Now, I think it went into the crud. It might have cleared, but it was on a bad line, a line that he didn't want.
A Riggs line,
very much.
First attempt.
Right. Tees up a second ball. We've always had maybe an interesting relationship with Poulter.
What an interesting way for you to put that.
Right. I mean, because it's been not great.
Yeah.
I do like his energy a lot. What he showed, like with his international buds, I just like his kind of upbeat energy. There is some downfalls to him that you, Riggs, have mentioned quite a few times. But regardless, second shot. I mean, it sounded good on the face, looked good. I thought it was on a good line. And I think I said, oh, that's a beauty. And then he quickly said, get down.
Yeah.
In your defense, it's a hard dog leg right.
Hard dog
leg. At all angles right. So, like, he hit it dead straight. That looked great. But, like, you needed it to cut.
Needed it to cut. And so, anyways, we kind of had a weird back and forth. And I didn't want it to be kind of dead air after that because he's walking off. I think at that moment, he was probably like, oh, they chirped me again. Like, beauty. Like, kind of pulled it left in this sense. Missed my target line by 20
yards.
But
it wasn't like he duck hooked it. No. You were like, beauty. But like, just, that would have been funny.
Yeah. So, and then
and just very, that would have been a problem.
So, yeah. So then I go back to him. I was like, oh, no, Paulter, I actually thought it was on a good line. Like, I didn't mean to, for it to be that way. I didn't say that last
time. Now gets into real awkward territory.
Oh, yeah.
But then he kind of smiled back and gave like an all good. He did. And then actually where the ball, where he played it from, was right of the last bunker on six. So it was actually a good spot wherever the ball finished up.
I wonder if he knows your affiliation.
Good point. I probably not.
Because I think that there's a chance that interaction goes differently if he does.
You think it goes much worse?
Just different. Yeah.
I mean, I'm standing there with you two guys.
I'm always curious, and we talked about this a little bit earlier today, like, most of these players have blinders on when they're out there. They're just kind of like, I'm focused on me. This is a practice round. I got to figure this shit out before the tournament starts, where I don't even know if he would have seen us standing next to the team.
Yeah, like Tommy Fleet was a good example today where he was walking like kind of on his phone, walking 4 feet away from us, right past us. And we were kind of looking up because we're always just trying to be in people's way. Like we're literally trying to like make eye contact on nothing. So then I just said like, good luck this week, Tommy. And he kind of gave a little bit, like, you know, thanks. And then he looked and I was like, oh, boys. And like came over and chatted with us for a couple minutes. So like Trent saying, I would guess that he had no clue who you or any of us were in that moment.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Or certainly minimal. Right out of the gate when he heard my voice, nothing. When he looked back over, maybe something.
He heard your voice from fucking.
Right, it goes you know, forever. I understand that. Yeah,
LA
I gave Fleetwood the, what is it?
What?
Triangle of Love. And Fleetwood gave a nice little smile to
that. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
He did that. I think he repeated it.
That moment.
I think he repeated it. I think he goes, Triangle of Love.
Because with a guy like Poulter, I do think if he knew everything that was going on there, like he knew who you were, he knew that we were standing there, I think there is a chance he just goes like, fuck off.
Which would have been a wild remark.
I think he said we assaulted him or harassed him.
Assault is a strong word.
He did use the word assault, I'm pretty sure.
Really? Pretty sure? Because that's one
he might have said harass.
I don't know. It was maybe like a verbal assault, something like that.
He put it on his Instagram because he was doing one of those Q&As on Instagram story like a year ago.
Yes.
And someone's like, are you ever going to go on and do stuff with the Foreplay Pod boys? And he, you know, chose to respond to that publicly and was like, no, I'll never do anything because they like, have assaulted me over the years.
I remember.
I think he might have said harassed.
It
he
was
said
one
like
of those.
They've harassed.
Harassed is better than assaulted.
Definitely. I think so too. Assault is what Let's comes on this interview really soon,
right?
Which is illegal. You can't do that. Can get you arrested. We did not. We did not. Not one iota did we assault Ian Poulter.
No,
never.
No.
Nor way. Did we harass.
Nor would this podcast still be in existence if we assaulted Ian Poulter.
Extremely illegal and problematic and morally wrong. So yeah, we just would be done.
If say what you're about to learn,
woo-wee. Hear, learn
all together.
Yeah,
is that you know nobody needs to be Oliver.
No. We do have coming up, and I hope everybody enjoys the United States Open Championship. We'll be back. Depending on how things go, we'll probably be back Monday or Tuesday. You know, if like when Phil won, we obviously had to get a podcast out immediately. So depending on how kind of, I don't know, I guess how dramatic, how like must hear, how must react to the podcast or the tournament championship, we will put out the podcast either Monday or Tuesday. We'll probably do Monday, but we'll just kind of see people are traveling over the country. Point is, enjoy the United States Open. It's one of the best weeks of the year by far. Torrey Pines delivered 13 years ago. Maybe the most memorable major championship of our lives.
Yep.
And now it's set again. We got a lot of good storylines, a lot of really good players. The weather's going to be perfect. It's going to be fun. Now we have...
Before you get to this,
yeah.
The one thing that I will say for fans out there to watch is the rough around the greens is outrageous. So if you see somebody that is short-sighted or whatever the case may be, and it's just chipping around the greens, just tune in. Don't look away. Watch that because there's a good chance. It's a skull. It's a whiff. It's just not where they wanted to send that golf ball.
I think what people are going to see a lot of, so we saw walking back, we saw Hideki and his caddy and one of his other boys. And right as we were walking by, Hideki gave, I think it was like, you know, maybe a swing coach or somebody like that, gave, you know, he took the wedge and Hideki like buried one of the balls in the rough. They were like around the little practice chipping green. And we saw his boy take like two practice swings that were full swing. I'm talking, he's probably 8 yards from the green and maybe 11 yards from the pin. Like, he was very close to the green. Took a full swing, caught it a little thin, and it just barreled way over the green, like into the parking lot. And I think we're going to see a lot of stuff like that where guys are taking pretty full swings because it's like you're in hay, basically, when you're right next to the green. And there's going to be a lot, I think, that like you see a big swing and the ball just comes up short and disappears again. Or when they catch it cleaner than they thought. And like you said, just barrel it over the green. So it's going to be fascinating around the greens. I think generally around like the fairway rough and all that, I don't think it's going to be anything crazy out of the ordinary.
That's what the players are saying. They're saying it's pretty fair. Fairway rough, not bad. Where they're killing them is
around the
green rough. If you miss greens, you're absolutely hosed.
And there'll be the odd lie or two that people do get around the fairway rough where they just got to hack it out, obviously, where you get a horrible break, whatever. But I think generally they can get it up in near and around the greens. But around the green, when you miss it, the greens have some crazy undulations to them, as we saw. And the rough's ridiculous. So I think you're going to see some crazy golf and action around the greens. Thursday, so tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, we have do we have Trent, or is that next week?
That's next week. I believe the Torrey Pines video is Friday.
Friday.
Our full rounds at Torrey Pines from 7,800 yards.
So Friday we have from 7,800 yards. At what time are we putting that puppy out? 3 p.m. Eastern. We are going to put out us playing Torrey Pines from 7,800 yards, which is about 150 to 200 yards longer than they're playing it this week, because we just wanted to go all the way back. So that video will be out on our YouTube, and I would like to use this opportunity to call out for YouTube, you know, a few names.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to kind of steal.
Are you going to steal that?
Well, no, I don't know that I should steal it.
Are you going to?
Feels like a steal.
Well, we can just talk about it. Should we just talk about it?
Yeah, we should.
I'm going to call out Katie.
Okay, no, that's fine, because that's not the name of the person that we ran into.
Oh. I see what I did there?
You did me a solid.
Well, what I wanted to do was I wanted to, you know, call out a female name to all of our female listeners out there. So all the Katies out there, my sister's name's actually Kate. So Katie, beautiful name. Fantastic. And you probably been wondering for months now why we haven't been calling your name when we ask people to subscribe to the YouTube channel. You've been sitting there hovering over the button being like, I wish these fucking guys would be here to subscribe. And so now we're doing it. So Catherine, Kate, Katie, all versions of that name, please subscribe to the 4Play Golf YouTube channel.
And what brought this about is that we were walking around Torrey Pines, just checking things out, talking to players, doing our thing. And a female listener came up to us and said, why don't you guys ever call out female names for the YouTube subscribers? And we thought, that's a great idea. I think we might have done it earlier on when we first started calling out names. We were like, we're going to do guys, we're going to do girls. It's going to be the whole thing. But I think it's been a while since we, you know, called out
really
to female listeners.
I think
and subscribers.
You keep making that up to make us feel better about ourselves.
I do?
Yeah. I don't think we ever mentioned.
But I hope that you're right.
I'm
very
pretty
badly.
Sure that we did.
All right, good.
At least one of us did early on.
Maybe like a Stevie situation.
No. I think there was more than that.
No, but, I think it was. No, I think you're wrong. But
Riggs thinks it never happened.
I'm with Riggs.
Keep agreeing with
which
you.
Which is fair. But so the name that I'm going to call out is the name of the person that we ran into, Stephanie. Any of the Stephanies out there, subscribe to the 4Play YouTube channel. Tons of videos coming out. Breaking 100, Travel Series, the Torrey Pines video, all that stuff. So all the Stephanies out there, subscribe, please.
I'll follow suit. I'll give Jess. If your name's Jess, Jessica.
Okay.
Get out there. Subscribe. Appreciate that. Appreciate the watch. Look forward to you seeing us just absolutely struggle from Torrey Pines from the back.
And it was, man, we had, you know, you guys had flown all the way across the country. We were up in San Francisco. Then we flew that night after playing Olympic Club, which sounds like, you know, champagne problems. But point is, flew all the way down. Then, like, got Torrey, went to sleep, woke up, played Torrey from 7,800 yards, and we just were not impressive. And it's a very funny video. So
there will be a disclaimer at the beginning of this video, but I want to say it now. This was before I visited John Tillery.
Yes.
Because the timelines are confusing. And that probably gives you a little peek into how I played at Torrey Pines, but I want people to know that it was before I saw John Tillery.
You were not yet in the Till gang.
I was not.
Yeah.
Now I'm firmly planted in the Till gang.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have a guest, Austin Daly, who was, again, playing in the Monday qualifier for the Korn Ferry Tour in Kansas this past Monday, just a few days ago, and his grouping resulted in arrests and an incredible physical altercation, and he walks us through the entire story. Make sure, before we get to that, that you head to your local liquor store, pick up the Summer co-branded New Amsterdam Vodka bottle. It's the same extra smooth 80-proof vodka, now with custom barstool labels made from the same finest quality grains for America's heartland, which we love. Yep. Big American guys here, especially the heartland, which Trent and I are kind of from the heartland.
I'm definitely from the heartland.
Yeah.
I'm not.
No, you're not, but you got a lot of heartland qualities.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you kind of look like you're corn-fed a little bit.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
That can be, what do you think about that, Trent? You ways. Don't agree? Bringing me in from Jersey to
I
was just...
like, I don't know about all that.
I was just trying to get to the average. We'll welcome you for this. Here. You want to be welcomed?
I do, but I mean, I want to be welcomed with open arms. Nobody says like, oh yeah, you can come to the party, bring your New Amsterdam, but like you're not, nobody wants you.
You're not.
Like,
you're in. Deal. You're in.
You're in.
Is that?
Yep.
You going to jump in the ocean with me?
Yep.
All right, I'm in.
Okay.
Lurch, how many times do you think New Amsterdam vodka is five? Is damn it.
I gave it. Five.
You drunk?
Five. I bet it's five. I bet they distill it five times.
Boy, did I blow that one. It's five times distilled. Yeah, that's right. You nailed it. For
the bottles are sweet, though.
They're cool.
Yeah, we've had a couple of them at the Barstool office. They've got the Stool and Stars all over it. 4th of July is coming up. It's very much 4th of July themed. It's a cool bottle.
Crazy. We are American guys from the heartland, so we love 4th of July.
Right. Yep.
New Amsterdam vodka, five times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, great guest Trent, and filtered three times for a clean, crisp finish. New Amsterdam vodka, the official vodka of Barstool Sports. Here is Austin Daly. Enjoy the United States Open Championship.
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
Likewise. Yeah, nice to meet you. We appreciate you taking the time, man.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for reaching out. It's been pretty crazy.
So this is probably one of the craziest stories I've ever heard, especially in golf. I mean, this kind of stuff just doesn't happen in golf. You're obviously a big golfer, been playing golf your whole life. What I mean, first of all, where are you at? Where are you at right now? What's your status right now?
So my current status is I'm just playing mini tours. I've been bouncing around on mini tours for a while. I also work full time during the winter season at PGA West in La Quinta, California, where they play the American Express. Between that and preparing for tournaments and trying to, you know, keep the game sharp, it's tough when you're working full time and trying to go travel and play Mondays or pre-quals or state opens or Golden State events or whatever it is I'm trying to play in. But yeah, basically after college, turned pro and just been kind of chasing it ever since, trying to play in whatever I can, really.
Yeah, and it's expensive, right? It's like it's expensive to travel around, to pay entry fees. It's a grind. Not enough people talk about the grind.
It is, yeah. It's a big grind. You know, it's whether I'm working at the course from 5 to 1 or 10 to whatever, and trying to practice after or before the shifts. It's, you know, it's not like most guys that can kind of grind whenever they feel like it. You know, I got to work around my work schedule, so the money I make working at the course I could take to go travel and play events.
So you so speaking of events, you know, you're at Sand Creek Station, you're in Kansas, Monday qualifier, Corn Ferry Tour. I'm sure you're excited. You've been grinding on your game. You know, talk to us a little bit about just kind of going into Monday and you know where you were at with the Monday qualifying, what that whole scene's like.
Yeah. So I left La Quinta on Monday, June 7th, drove to Phoenix, stayed in Phoenix for a couple nights, worked on the game out at Wecopa, which is a good place in Phoenix. They got
awesome spot. My favorite course out there, the Saguaro course.
Yeah, great course. So worked out there for a couple days, then drove to Las Cruces, New Mexico, practiced at a course there. Drove to San Antonio from there to stay with a buddy of mine that I played high school golf with and stayed with him for a few days and then made the trip up to Dallas to stay in Dallas for a night and practice at a course there. And then from there, drove up to Kansas.
Jesus. Ooh, all right. So,
mind you, right before I left, I got a 2005 Honda Accord. and good on the air gas. Conditioning went out.
Oh, don't tell me that, no. Dude. That hurts.
Grinding miles in holy that region shit. Without AC is an issue. You also, I don't know, you look like a taller, bigger guy, too, so I don't know if that's true, but that would be a complete... Oh, no?
No, I'm only like
5'10". Yeah, you just positioned the camera. Well, it looked right. Tall.
You look big. Yeah, you look...
big presence on the WebEx. It's good.
I'll keep that in mind.
So again, I love it, right? It's the grind. It's like doing whatever it takes to try to make it to get your shot. So you know, you're there, you tee off, you got your grouping. How's everything going the first few holes?
Good question. So it started off like any other Monday qualifier. You know, showed up to the course, got a warm up in, walked to the first tee, shook hands or fist bumps, whatever you want to call it. Hit my first tee shot, started walking down the middle of the fairway, and then there wasn't really much conversation in the first few holes. But I mean, you know, you can kind of get a feel for what your playing partners are like, and if there's going to be much talking, if you guys are gonna not quote unquote hit it off, but if you're gonna, you know, want to talk to each other to begin with. And then after the first few holes, we got to, we got to the third hole, and the guy that was also in the group, Derek, Luke and his dad had walked off the green early. And then after me and Derek finished the hole, Derek looked at me and he goes, "Man, this guy's just something else, for lack of a better word." And that's when I was like, yeah, I mean, he just, you know, he's a young college kid out there trying to play with the professionals. And, you know, it just went sour very fast.
So this goes on for a few holes. You're kind of, and look, everybody's been in a pairing, right? You can read people. Like, nobody can hide during a round of golf. It's 4 hours, 5 hours, whatever it is. Like, you're going to have ups, you're going to have downs, whoever you are as a person, however you handle those moments, like that gets revealed. So you're realizing this, you're playing, like you said, so we set the stage for everybody. It's a threesome. It's you, Derek, and then Luke. And Luke has his dad caddying for him. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, the daddy caddy.
Oh, boy. That's like a home dresser in hockey. That's just brutal. Daddy caddy is ugly.
Amazing line. God damn. God, it makes me so, like, I like that we're kind of learning about the ins and outs.
It really feels like we're building up towards something. We all know what it is. But we're doing a very good job of building towards it, and I think people are starting to get excited.
I'm getting excited.
Me too.
No, you know, not at your expense, or, you know, I'm glad that you're safe.
No, yeah, we can laugh about it now.
So we get to, I believe, sixth or seventh hole, and things go, you know, from sour to pretty unbelievable. From your vantage point, kind of describe the whole thing going, you know, from a golf round to the reason that you're pretty much here right now.
Yeah. So on, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, on 5, I think it was, yeah, on 5, Derek had hit 2 balls left into the crap. And so as we're walking up, I started helping him look for that ball. I actually find that ball so he could hit it. And then I go over to my ball on the fairway, hit it on the green, pick up his provisional, and then bring it to him while we're on the green. But while we're looking for – while me and Derek are looking for his ball, Derek makes a comment like, "Man, these guys just – they're not going to help us look for a ball, are they? Like, they're just lost in their own world. They're not getting flag sticks." You know, when you're first in, if you bring a caddy, the caddy should know to be the one to put the flag stick in.
His dad, especially a daddy caddy, right?
What's that?
Especially
a daddy caddy. Yeah, especially a daddy caddy.
Everybody knows that.
So then we get to the next hole, and Derek hits 2 balls left into the crap again. So I help him go look for those again, and we're just kind of making small talk like, "Man, these guys are unbelievable." Meanwhile, while we're looking for the balls, Luke and his dad are already on the green, you know, with Luke's got his butt crossed. He's got his hand on his hip, kind of like, not giving us a look, but we know the body language of like, "You guys going to speed it up or what?" And we're like, in my head, I'm thinking like, well, if you guys were here, you know, four is a lot better than two trying to find a ball.
Right. That's odds. Math. Yeah.
And so we're just like, wow, like this is crazy. So we finish out that hole. Derek had unfortunately made a seven. So Luke had asked him what he made, and he told him seven. And then he asked him again on the tee box, and you can kind of tell Derek was getting a little agitated about that. It's like, dude, I told you once already. You should just, you know, pay attention. If you were helping us look, you would have known, rather than just getting up on the green and waiting and just being a clown. And so then we get to seven. It's a par three. And I smother, pull one left into the crap. And then me and Derek start looking for that ball again. And then I was just like, you know, a mixture of not playing great and just agitated, and kind of, you know, running hot, if you want to call it that. And so I get on the green and I tell Luke, I say, hey, man, if we had equal effort looking for golf balls, if you guys would get a flag stick every now and then, we wouldn't be a hole and a half behind and our pace of play would probably improve. And he goes, well, why did you re-tee? And I go, well, do you see red stakes? There's no red stakes. So obviously I got to re-tee if it's possibly a lost ball. And then so we finish out the hole, or he finishes first again, and then just steps over the pin, walks to the tee. And then this is where it all just kind of took off from there. We're walking to the tee, and I see the dad kind of slam the bag down in anger and starts walking towards me. And I'm like, oh boy, he's about to say something, like, because I know this body language. And he goes, you know, don't you effing talk to me like that. Don't you effing talk to my kid like that. F you. Who do you think you are? Blah, blah, blah. Just going on and on. And I just go, excuse me? And he goes, F you. You know, don't talk to me like that. Blah, blah, blah. And so naturally, now I don't want to say I was threatened, but I knew that, like, you know, all right, if you're going to speak to me like that, then the gloves are coming off. Like, I can talk to you like that. So I just basically said, F you, you know, who do you think you are? You're out here caddying. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. You might be some big swinging dick at some company, but here you're a caddy. So be a caddy. And he didn't like that. And so he took offense to that.
Let me stop you right there. At this point, do you think at any point it'll get physical? Like, is that in the back of your head?
Absolutely not. Absolutely. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So I'm, you know, telling the dad, you know, if you're going to come out and caddy in a professional event, be a caddy. Don't just come out here and carry the clubs. Like, there's, you know, a lot of guys out here that are caddy and that know exactly what they're doing. Me and Derek didn't have a caddy. So if you think there's only one caddy in the group, that should be the caddy that kind of helps everybody, so to speak. I mean, we don't need them to rake our bumpers or read our putts, but, you know, get a fucking flag stick. Like, come on. It's not rocket science. And so then he kept going off on me and I was yelling at him. So as I'm like, I start walking away and I'm getting ready to hit my shot and I got my putter under my arm and I go to grab my yardage book out of my back right pocket. Next thing you know, it clocked in the side of the face. And, you know, of course I go down and then he gets on top of me. And then we start wrestling and we get up again. And then I was able to throw him on the ground and then he got me in a headlock, and then his dad was like yelling, put him to sleep, Luke, put him to sleep.
No way.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what did you say specifically when he turned around and threw the bag on the ground and was coming at you? Like, what'd you say at that moment?
I didn't say anything. He was the one that he just said to me, he goes, don't you effing talk to my kid like that. Don't you talk to me like that. And, you know, F you. And he said something along the lines of, he said, me and Luke aren't out here to look for golf balls.
Oh my God. Put him to sleep is one of the craziest lines out of a father at a golf tournament.
So he's saying this, daddy caddy. He's saying this to you while you guys are like wrestling and fighting.
While we're on the ground wrestling, his dad goes, put him to sleep, Luke, put him to sleep. And then at that point, Derek had saw what was happening. So he already went to the hole to tee off to try to, you know, get us pick up play a little bit. So he had saw what happened, what was happening. So he ran back from the fairway and was trying to break up the fight. But his Oliver, his dad, was waving the putter around at anybody who was trying to intervene, basically saying, back off, this isn't your fight, and was like threatening to hit them with a putter if they were going to try to intervene.
It's like golf.
What's going on with this father-son duo that they're like lunacy?
You got one wielding a putter, basically keeping people from interfering, and
while yelling, put him to sleep.
And you
hit the putter, like, yeah, on the ground. This guy going to hit me? Like, I'm talking about you're trying to qualify for a tournament. Am I going to get clocked in the side of the face with a putter? Like,
so who in this fight is anybody bleeding? Are you like who's getting the better of who? Because you got blindsided, so I imagine that was a pretty big advantage for him.
Yeah, dude, that caught me way off guard. Not gonna lie, I was disoriented for a little bit.
Totally.
And just you know, naturally, the thought, honestly, the main thought that was going through my head was, okay, this isn't a Saturday round of golf with the boys. This is a Corn Ferry Tour Monday qualifier. If I start throwing haymakers, I don't know if I'll get fined. I don't know if I'll get banned for future qualifiers. I don't know. It's not going to be a good look for me. I know guys that play on PGA Tour. I know guys that play on the Corn Ferry Tour, and I'm caddy. So, like, you know, it would get back to me negatively somehow. So I just kind of, like, I must say, I just didn't, I don't want to say I just laid there and let them manhandle me, but I just, at one point, I just basically just kind of, like, stopped fighting back. And I just, like, I was telling him, dude, get off me. Like, this is stupid. You know, you have no idea what you're doing. Like, you just ruined your entire career. Like, he just ruined your entire career before you can turn pro. You're a college kid out here playing with the pros, and, like, you're ruining golf.
So, all right. So we got the dad waving the putter, yelling, put him to sleep, Luke.
Maybe Oliver.
You guys, yeah, Oliver. You guys are
Oliver Smith. Yeah.
Eventually, this gets broken up. How did it get broken up? Who was able to, like, penetrate the force field of Oliver and his putter waving? What happened?
Yeah, it basically just his dad actually finally said, "All right, let him go, Luke. Let him go, Luke." And then Luke goes, "Call me uncle. Call me uncle, and I'll let you go." And I go, "Dude, shut up. Just like, just let me go." And then he starts pulling my head back, and he goes. And then finally, it just was ended. And he goes, you know, you're lucky I didn't break your arm. We're going to get up right now. We're going to finish this round of golf, and we're going to go our separate ways. And I go, nah, I highly doubt that's going to happen.
Imagine thinking after all that, it's like, all right, we're let's good. Put this ball on this tee, and let's finish out this round all right, of golf.
Who's got the honor here, you or me?
This will actually surprise you guys. I actually hit a tee shot on the next hole.
Really?
And, wow.
Yeah, I was shaking. Like, I was so mad. I was so fired up. And, like, the last thing I wanted to do was just get in a fight on a golf course. You get in a fight anywhere, let alone a golf course, let alone in a Monday qualifier for a Corn Ferry Tour event. And so, like, yeah, I hit my tee shot, and I hit it a million yards right. And just started walking down the fairway, and I told Derek, I said, "Hey, man, I'm out of here. Like, I'm leaving." And at that point, the group behind us, I guess, had called the golf shop, so there was just a sea of golf carts flooding the eighth hole. And, and
oh my god!
It was unbelievable. And next thing you know, the golf shop staff's out there, and they're asking me if I want to press charges, if I want to call the cops. So I said, well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't get in the fight. I got assaulted. Like, the guy just, I was walking away, and the guy just punched me and then starts jumping on top of me. And mind you, he's a big dude. He's young, but he's a big dude. Like, big boy from Tennessee.
He sounds
like,
it for sure.
You know?
Yeah. So, okay. So now a sea of carts arrives. You probably are realizing, like, my round of golf is probably over. Like, what happens at that point? How do people address it? I heard there's somebody, maybe it was the Derek guy, was at some point, like, giving his police report while finishing out the round. Like, I saw all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah. So, I don't know who the person was that worked at the course, but they drove me in a cart back to the clubhouse. Somebody else took Luke and his dad in the cart back to the clubhouse. By the time I had got back to the clubhouse, the cops were already there. I had a little cut, like, under my lip. And then I guess I had some blood on my chin. And I walked in the golf shop, and the lady was like, She's like, oh, do you need a towel to clean your face up? And I'm like, well, why? She's like, well, you have blood on your face. I have blood on my face? Jesus. And I didn't even know. And so then she walked outside to see what was going on. She walked in and she's like, yeah, you know, based on what that dad and kid are saying out there, it's, you know, it seems like the apple didn't fall too far from the tree.
And they're just crazy people.
And people were coming inside just trying to make sure I was all right, making sure asking me if I needed anything. And they're like, is this your first time in Kansas? I was like, yeah, this is my first time in Kansas.
Nice folks in Kansas.
Right.
Yeah, it's your first time. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, exactly. And then the cops, they took my side of the story. And next thing you know, I see Luke walking by me in handcuffs.
No way.
Wow.
At a golf tournament.
At a golf tournament.
Yeah, no point when you woke up that morning you were thinking like, I might get in a fist fight today. That's not you, probably what you were thinking.
Yeah, I was waking up thinking like, geez, I better have the draw going or so it's going to be a long day.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, also on the eighth hole, like you teed one up, I guess, on the ninth because this was on the eighth green. I mean, now you just have another 2.5 hours with this guy that you just wrestled while Oliver Daddy Caddy waved a putter. Yeah. It's like, what are we doing out here?
Yeah, what am I supposed to say? Like, hey, guys, the Bev card's coming. Let's have a beer and forget
it. Makes me think this isn't the first time Luke has done that where he's like, all right, we're done fighting now. Let's play the rest of this round of golf.
Totally.
Man. Yeah, I don't know what was going through his head, but I was able to get in touch with his college coach, and I spoke to his college coach personally. There's I don't want to say it's going to happen, but there's a good chance he's going to get kicked off his golf team. Speaking with the people at the Corn Ferry Tour, I was speaking with a guy named Brad. He's the player relations guy. He said, not verbatim, but there's a good chance he'll never be allowed to play any PGA Tour sanctioned qualifiers, Corn Ferry Tour qualifiers. if he has any intent to turn pro, he's going to have a rough road from here.
I mean, there's a good chance he'll be in prison.
I mean, yeah. If his dad's yelling, put him to sleep. Like, you know, when I was a kid, I was super fiery. My dad would coach me down off the ledge. Like, no, son, like, you just got to chill out. Like, it's fine. Like, life goes on.
Not pouring gasoline on him.
While waving a putter, as Riggs said, like a force field around, saying, put him to sleep while you're waving a putter.
Right.
It's like, I mean.
Put him to sleep is something out of a comedy movie. It's like, that somebody would say as an ironic bit.
You can't make this stuff up. What happened? It was just crazy. It was just, you know, I traveled 1,200 miles by car to play six holes in a Monday qualifier.
That's insane.
No AC nonetheless, you know.
What's that?
No AC nonetheless.
No AC. It's not bad with the windows down. With the breeze hits you and you're sweating.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Those highway rides. Yeah, man, that is. Well, I guess next time you tee it up, you'll probably be like, all right, like, what's the worst that could happen? I've seen.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, true. Now I've gotten one of my college teammates is going to caddy for me, and you know, we're probably going to start taking some Muay Thai classes, maybe get a group discount.
Right. Should be the first golfer sponsored by UFC. I mean, they should pick it up and say.
Yeah, exactly. I was trying to get like just maybe to get some white flat bill snapback hats and just like the Everlast boxing glove on it or something.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you need that. Yeah, like.
Or maybe start a golf clothing line called Say Uncle.
There you go.
Say Uncle.
You're thinking.
Your uncle's another ridiculous line. Just like what is wrong with this family? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly. They were just and his dad is some hedge fund capital prime guy, and he introduced himself on the first tee with his first and last name and wanted to make it very known that it was first and last name. I could just get a read on them real fast. They were just some people I definitely don't want to have a beer with, you know.
Oh yeah, he's you know, like Oliver Smith III from then. You're like, all right, bro, that's fine. Yeah. I'm Austin. Let's peg it. Let's do this. Wow.
Right. Well, you can still be a good person no matter who you are. I mean, what the hell is that? Oliver's saying. put him to sleep, and then his son saying, "Call me uncle." It's like, what are we even doing out here?
Yeah, they're yeah, like exactly. the O'Doyle rules. That's right. Like that.
They are. Just, they yeah, really are like exactly. the O'Doyle family.
And we all saw what happened to the O'Doyles at the end of the movie.
They did. They flew right off a cliff and
we saw exactly what happened.
They did.
Yeah. I know.
No, it was sad. It was a bummer for them.
You looked at me like you didn't know who the O'Doyles were.
No, I mean, it was just. It was a funny reference.
Yeah, they are that family, though. That's a good call.
Big time.
Wow.
So what's next? You're going to – I mean, when are you teeing it again? We got to follow yeah, you now and make sure you finish.
Good question. So I was going to go next week, Corn Ferry Tours in Maine. So I'm not going to do that one. Then there's a week off, and then the next Monday is in Colorado. So as of right now, that's the next event. And then just trying to do as many Mondays on the Corn Ferry Tour as possible. Luckily, I don't have to, work much at PGA West this season or this summer. So I can kind of have a pretty flexible schedule. The guys that I work for are some of my best friends. So they're pretty cool with like letting me take time off and travel and play tournaments whenever I want. So, but as of right now, yeah, next one's probably going to be Colorado, unless I can find something. I'm in Fort Worth, Texas right now. So unless I can find something between here and there to play.
What's the entry fee to like a Korn Ferry Tour qualifier, Monday qualifier?
For people with non-status, they're $450. And luckily, think I'm very grateful to the South Central PGA section. They did refund my money for the qualifier, which I thought was pretty cool.
Okay, awesome. Well, I was going to say, we could rally our followers, no problem. Cover that entry fee. That won't be a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'd love to do that. Cause I mean, you drove across the country and literally wasn't able to play in an event without being attacked by Oliver and his son who were yelling, "Call me uncle" or whatever. So yeah, I think that's a no brainer, but man, what a story. At least you'll have a good story for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. unfortunately making headlines for, I guess not the greatest reasons, the wrong reasons, whatever you want to call it, but it at this point it is what it is, so I just gotta kind of ride the wave.
No, totally. And you didn't do anything wrong. So no. I mean,
no actually, and the funny thing is, at one point the officers told me that there's a chance that I could be charged with disorderly conduct, and I said how, like, What do you mean disorderly conduct? Well, I said, you did exchange verbal words with the dad. I said, well, yeah, if someone tells you to go fuck yourself, what are you going to say? Oh, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I will.
Yeah, I'm going to try that. That sounds fun. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
So, I mean, yeah, it was just, I'm still having a hard time wrapping my head around the situation.
Sure.
All the attention it's got, all the, you know, I don't have social media. I don't have Instagram. I don't have Facebook. I don't have any form of social media.
I'm very jealous of you, by the way. That's
I obviously about. Saw what all the, my buddies sent me everything, and just seeing all that, it's just weird.
Yeah. I can imagine. Well, look, good luck. We'll be in touch, and try to stay, out of trouble out there. Try to keep it. Try to be cool. I'm sure every playing partner you have for the rest of your life will seem like the nicest guy of all time.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the next tournament I go to. If there's I might have to bring some security.
All right, Austin. Thanks, man. We appreciate the time.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man.
Have a good one.
Yeah. Same to y'all.